Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Jayam Shupala Paramahamsa Paribrajakacharya Ashtottara Shada Shri Shriman Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Nitrila Pravishta Vishnupala Paramahamsa Paribrajakacharya Ashtottara Shada Shri Shriman Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananda Kodi Vaishnava Brindaki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prayam Saho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Brindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Govagopala Govinada Shyamakunda Radhakundagiri Govardhaniki Vrindavan Dhamaki Mayapur Dhamaki Madhuravari Dhamaki Jagannathpuri Dhamaki Dwarakapuri Dhamaki Gangamayiki Yamunamayiki Tulasi Deviki Bhakti Deviki Samaveda Bhakta Vrindaki Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga All glories to Srila Prabhupada Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Samsara Sagare Magnam Dinam Mam Karunanidhe Karma Graha Grahidangam Mam Uddhara Bhavarnavad Srimad Bhagavadakhyoyam Pratyaksha Krishnamevahi Svigrado Simayanatha Muktyartam Bhavasagare Manurathe Madiyoyam Sabhala Sarvadatvaya Nirvigdhena Ivakartavyam Dasoham Tavakeshava Bhave Bhave Yadha Bhakti Padayor Savajayate Tadha Kurushva Devesha Nadhastvam Noyada Prabho Nama Sangirtanam Yasya Sarvababa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukha Shamanam Tam Namami Harim Param Janmadhyasya Yadonvayadi Taradas Chateshwa Vinyaswarad Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Gavaye Mukhyandi Yad Suraya Tejo Varimrudam Yadha Vinimayo Yatratre Sargo Mrusha Dhamna Svena Sadani Rasta Kuhagam Satyam Param Dhimahi Dharma Projida Gaida Votra Varemo Narmat Saranam Sadam Vedyam Vastavamatra Vastu Shivadam Tabatrayon Mulanam Srimad Bhagavade Mahamunikrute Kimba Pareirishwara Sadhyo Hridya Varudya Detra Kritubi Shushru Shubi Talshanan Nigamakalpadaror Galidam Phalam Shukamukhatam Urdadravasam Yudam Pivada Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvibhavuka Nandarubaya Vishyol Patyadi Hedavi Tabatraya Vinashaya Shri Krishnaya Vayam Numa Yam Pravrajandam Hanubedam Abeda Krityam Dvaivayano Virahakadayam Ajuhava Putre Didan Maidayataravo Bhinedu Tam Sarva Bhuda Hridayam Munimana Tosmi Yaswanu Bhava Makhila Shruti Saramegam Adhyalma Diva Maditi Tirshadam Tamundham Samsarinam Karunayaha Purana Guhyam Tam Vyasasunum Upayami Guram Muninam Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Jaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswadim Vyasam Tado Jayamudirayen Kamaniya Kishore Mugdhamute Kalavenu Kunidadra Dana Nendoho Mama Vaji Vijrumbhada Murarer Madhurinna Kanikabi Kabi Kabi Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Srimadi Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Hirinamine Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarine Srimal Gurucharanaravindabhyam Nama Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam పాదరేణుమభీష్టశ యాసం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమ పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేష మనిషం హృది భావయామి కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురతో మమ మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద ఓం పాఠాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీం నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే ఉల్లారవిందాయతపత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపా ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకబాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమాం సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుధీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహర్ వసుదేవసుతం దేవం కంసజానూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతటాజయద్రతజల గాంధారనీలోల్పలా శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ మహనీ కర్ణేన వేళాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణనదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజసరోజమమలం గీతాథగంధోల్కణం నానాఖ్యానగకేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జనషల్పదైరహరహవ్యవీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంగజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్ వేదైర్సాంగపదైర్క్రమోపనిషదైర్గాయంతి యం సమగాః ధ్యానావస్థితద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదు సురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. So yesterday we were discussing these two important verses in the 13th chapter, which is 28 and the 29th. Krishna spoke about samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtandam parameshwaram vinashyatsu avinashyandam yapashyati sapashyati, first one. And in the second verse Krishna says samam pashyanhi sarvatra samavastitam ishwaram మహినస్తి ఆత్మనాత్మానం తదోయాది పరాంగతి తదోయాది పరాంగతి. సో వీ హ్యావ్ సీన్ దట్ కృష్ణస్ పాయింట్ హియర్ ఈస్ దట్ దిస్ సమస్థితి ఆర్ ది స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ ఈక్వానిమిటీ, ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్ దట్ స్టేట్ కృష్ణ సేస్ ఈస్ ది సమవస్థితం ఈశ్వరం. Krishna is present in everyone equally. Krishna is present there in the mosquito, Krishna is present in the elephant also. Equally there, Krishna is present there. But that Krishna mentions that samam pashyan hi sarvatra samavastidam ishwaram. In order to see that presence of Krishna equally in everyone, by doing that, Krishna says, you are actually glorifying the soul inside. If not, you are actually hurting the soul by not seeing in that way. You know, in Bhagavadam, Krishna is saying that what is truthfulness? Uddhava asked a question. In answer to that, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, truthfulness is nothing but seeing everyone equal. That is truthfulness. This is the way Krishna sees truthfulness. Therefore, you can understand that how much importance Krishna gives to this equal vision in every living being. So important that it is. Krishna says only when a person is seeing everyone equally or recognizing Krishna's presence in everyone equally, only then he is truthful. Otherwise, he is a liar as far as Krishna is concerned. He is cheating the world, Krishna says. Ekadasha Skandam, if you look, you will see there that Krishna mentions this particularly in this way, that the equal vision is truthfulness. Krishna's definition in the Bhagavadam. If you see, nowhere else you will find a definition like this for truthfulness. Generally what people say about truthfulness is, if you tell, oh, you're a liar, they say. Krishna says, everybody is a liar. Krishna's point is that so long as you are not recognizing Krishna's presence, Atma, in everyone equally present, if not, he is a liar. If you look at this chapter, which is Uddhava asked this question, 19th chapter, Uddhava asked this question. There, if you look at the verse 37, Uddhava asked the question in the verse 28 onwards, 19th chapter. Verse 28 onwards is Uddhava's questions. So, there you will see, Uddhava asked the question, and in answer to that, Krishna is Sri Bhagavan Vacha from 33 onwards. And in the 37th verse, Krishna is saying, Dandanyasa Param Dhanam Kamatyaga Tapam Spradam Sobhava Vijayam Shauryam Satyamja Samadarshanam. So, Satyamja Samadarshanam. Dandanyasa Param Dhanam Kamatyaga Tapap Param Tapas Pradam Sobhava Vijayam Shauryam Satyamja Samadarshanam. So, if you don't have Samadarshanam, Krishna is saying you are asatyam. You are not truthful. So, that's what Krishna expects from us. That's the standard. Krishna's standard is that. At least if we accept that, that's good. Even though we may not reach that state, but at least to accept that. Look at how Krishna puts it, that without recognition of the soul in everyone, there is no question of truthfulness. We can see that. We'll keep on fighting, keep on arguing about it, but till it comes to this point, that the presence, Krishna's presence in everyone equally, till we recognize that and acknowledge that, there is no point in saying that we are truthful. Satyam cha samadarshanam. So that samadarshanam we have seen yesterday. Krishna spoke in these two verses, isn't it? On those two verses he spoke about that. And we also saw that example of the Ekanath's story, which we talked about yesterday. That that he mentions when somebody wanted to test his resolve, Ekanath Swami's resolve, he went up to him and spat at him, because them days it was, people used to chew the bitter leaves and bitter nuts, and they used to spit at people. Sometimes they really disgusted with something, so they offended him in this way. And every time he went to Godavari River and bathed himself and came back and sat there. And in later on, that very same person that he went up and paid his obeisances to Ekanath Swami, the person who did this, and he to asked him that why how come that you are able to do this, that you are not disturbed at all In spite of so many times I have offended you so badly, still you are able to maintain this, he said. So Ekanath's reply was that whatever you have spat on me, I can clean it up. It's not a problem. If I go to Godavari River and bathe myself, it'll go from me. And every time I came back after cleaning up myself, isn't it? And there is not even a part of that on my body anymore. I have cleaned myself so well, he said. But he said, if I start hating you, and if some mud comes in the form of hate inside, then even if I dip myself in Godavari River many times, it will not go from inside. It will not go from inside. So, best thing is not to create that dirt inside which cannot be cleaned up easily. So, basically when we hate someone, what actually happens is that it is that hate inside me that is manifesting in that person. And it is only an external form. That form is not the one causing that. It is my hate inside that is manifesting on that form there, which is outside. So, and that person outside is only a manifestation of that quality of hate inside me. And similarly, when we all these qualities, what Krishna says, all the bad qualities, kama, lust, anger, greed, envy, jealousy, all these kind of things, Krishna saying when envy comes or jealousy comes, that envy or jealousy inside, it's a manifestation of that envy outside in the form is that person there. Everything is like that, anger, greed, everything. So whatever emotions we develop within, bad emotions like that, all of them come out in the particular form outside. So if I protect myself without those emotions developing inside, the external forms will not disturb me. If I do not allow those hate to build up inside, or envy, or any such qualities, bad qualities, not to develop inside, then it will not disturb me, even if I see the external form of someone. So, but if outside I start seeing Vishamam instead of Samam, Vishamam is the opposite thing of Samam. If I start seeing Vishamam outside means Ragam, Dvesham, Kamam, Krodham, Lobham, Moham, Madam, Matsaryam, all those bad things, and keeping with all these things, if I look at a person, his name and form, I am disturbing myself. That is why Krishna is saying in that verse, if you look, you will see, Nahi nasti altman altmanam. That's what that is just talking about. Nahi nasti altman altmanam. That means you are looking at someone not in the proper way. Instead of recognizing Krishna's presence inside that body, inside that form, you're actually looking at him through your eyes of hate and attachment and aversion, and in various ways. Krishna is saying here, that is what is going to degrade a person. Nahinasti altman altmanam. Nahinasti altman altmanam. Tato yadi paramgadim. Krishna is saying here that the that a person, na hinasti altman altmanam tado yadi parangadi, one who has come out of this kind of polluted vision, or person whose vision is contaminated, that person will find it very difficult, Krishna says, tado yadi parangadi. Otherwise, he will come out of that, he will reach the final destination. So you can see when anger comes, how body changes, isn't it? And our body gets heated, and sometimes the food what you eat doesn't get digested, don't get sleep, all sorts of things happens within the body. So whom do you disturb? You disturb yourself. You are disturbing yourself. So that therefore Krishna is saying If you see, develop this vision, which one? Samam Pashyanhi Sarvatra. Somehow, if that is developed, and that is a yoga state. In that yoga state, one who remains in that yoga state, and that person who is executing this sadhana, this is a sadhana verse. These two verses are sadhana verses. One who executes this sadhana, Krishna says, nahi nasti alpan alpanam, he does not give any trouble to himself. Then, so if you do not want, actually we think that when we look at a person with any hate or aversion or anything like that, that person is not affected. Actually, we are affected by that. If we keep that in the mind, then you know the importance of that. Because Krishna is saying, you are actually disturbing yourself. Nahinasti alpan alpanam. So, Krishna is saying that if you don't want to disturb anyone, best thing is that you have to see Krishna's presence in everyone. And not looking at any other second thing present in that body. Except Krishna, you shouldn't see anything else in someone else. Only then you are not causing any problem to yourself. Otherwise, if you start seeing another second thing means, what Krishna means by that is, second thing means instead of seeing Krishna present in that person, seeing any other designation, male, female, or king, or pauper, or minister, or president, or engineer, or doctor, all that is nothing to do with the reality. They are all imposed ones, superimposed designations they are. If you are seeing like that, if you see in any other way, Krishna says ragadvesham will come there in that. So if that kind of sadhana, upasana in other words, if it gets strengthened, Krishna says, and if that becomes dhyanam or bhakti or jnanam, if it becomes powerful, even if Krishna is saying there, even if you don't take shelter of me, Krishna is saying, if you have developed this vision, and even if you don't take shelter of me, but if you start seeing Krishna's presence in every living entity, and if you try to create even hate or envy towards anybody, it will not happen. Krishna says, you are already in a secured state. Krishna's point is like this, that improve yourself rather than glorifying me more. What Krishna wants us is that these instructions in the Bhagavad Gita is taken seriously. Whereas if you don't take it seriously and think that Krishna is more... Krishna is saying that even if you don't worship me, but if you develop, see my presence in all living entities, Krishna considers that it's a much more secure situation in spiritual life. This is what that point Krishna is making there. That even if you don't worship me directly, if you start recognizing Krishna's presence in other living entities, and not to look at anyone with hate or aversion or attachment or any such thing, rather recognizing everywhere it is Krishna who is present in that form, if you do that, Krishna says, even if you don't worship me, spiritually you are much more secured. You are in a secured state. That's the point, important point. Sarvado Bhadram. In other words, that person is liberated. Person is liberated. So, because he won't have any more problems with the world anymore. Very higher state that is. Very, very high state. We are thinking one who has got a lot of tulsi mala on the neck and one who has completely dressed up like a whatever it is, Vaishnava or Shaiva, whatever it is, he is the most advanced, isn't he? It's a completely rubbish it is. When Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita that this is what is change means, this is what is expected of us. And that's not happening. And that doesn't get us anywhere, this attitude. To discriminate, instead of recognizing Krishna's presence, it's a very higher position that is, to see Krishna's presence in everyone and to recognize that. Even if we don't get it, at least we should understand it, accept it. That is more important. That is why these verses are important. Saying here, from this verse you can understand that. That sarvam pashyanhi sarvatra samavastidam ishwaram Mahinasti Alpan Alpmanam. He is saying, Tadoyadi Paramgadim. His destination is very, very high. His destination is very, very high. A very higher state of realization, that is. He may not be in the temple, he may not be in the ashram, but there are many people like that in this world even today who have this understanding of life. They may not go everywhere to all the programs and temples, everything, but the internal development of that spiritual qualities. That's what it is. That is more important. That's more important. We shouldn't get carried away by the externity, external things. This internal realization, internal change, what Krishna is expecting in everyone. That is why these two verses, very important. Samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram. Krishna is present in everyone. Sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram. It is Krishna who is present. And vinashyatsu avinashyandam yapashyati sapashyati. Krishna is saying that that when everything is destroyed, vinashyatsu avinashyandam, he never gets destroyed. Krishna never gets destroyed. He moves on, isn't it? Presence of Krishna is so important inside. Earlier, we spoke about Antaryami, isn't it? Throughout Bhagavad Gita, this point is spoken in different ways. The goal is the same, but expressed in different ways. In the 10th chapter, you have seen there, isn't it? Aham alpa gudagesha sarva bhudashayastida aham adhyancha madhyancha bhudana mandamevacha. Same thing in another form, Krishna is saying here. Samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram vinashyatsu avinashyandam yapashyati sapashyati. If this is not spiritual life, what else is spiritual life then? Spiritual life is not all the show what we make in this world. Spiritual life is this change that has to happen within. If this realization, to whatever little degree, if we develop in our life, that is our success in spiritual life. Nothing else. And Krishna is saying in the very next verse, Tatvayadi Parangadim, his destination is very, very high. He's not saying that one who is sitting there and doing arati for me 24 hours is not the one he is talking about. He's saying, Samam Bhashyan hi sarvatra, samavastidam Ishwaram. His destination is very high. So these two things Krishna has, if you study Puran Bhagavatam very carefully, you will see these things spoken. These things spoken. Eganada Swami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Ekadasha Skandam, he has spoken very well. And so many people appreciated Eganada Swami's realizations. And seeing that person in his own life, how he acted, that has made people to recognize the greatness of that personality. The greatness of that personality. So, here Krishna is saying that this situation... So this is anubhuti. What they call it as? Anubhuti. Anubhuti means in realization. How this has happened. So, so it is something that has to be used in life to test ourselves where we are in spiritual life. In spiritual life. So, so if there is, and how that will happen? These things will happen only if there is bhakti in the heart. Bhakti is the key behind it. Bhakti drives all these things, these qualities inside. Just like when you see there is something very hot, and if you touch that, you know that it is hot, you won't touch that anymore. Similarly, external objects, by hating them or by being indifferent to them, it creates a pain inside. It creates a pain inside. If you develop that insight inside, it will protect us without creating that pain again in life. Krishna's point is that some people, they will (clears throat) the way Krishna makes it clear to us is this, that samam pashyan hi sarvatra. Some people, they will show their affection and love such an extent, and they'll show their hate also equally towards somebody. So there are all sorts of people in this world, isn't it? Krishna's point is samam pashyan hi sarvatra. In all people whom you come into contact with, everywhere that equality, equal relationship with everyone. So it is important in this verse, in this 29th verse, samam, that is the most important. Samam pashyan hi sarvatra, samam avasthitam ishwaram. To see equally, and Krishna is also present equally in everyone. Samam avasthitam ishwaram, samam pashyan hi sarvatra, the samatvam, no vishamam. That is the point Krishna is saying like that. So, a person who is seeing like that, whole world is his. He has all his world. Because wherever he goes, he has friends. Because he is seeing it like that. And nobody is an outsider for him. And that example is there in so many great personalities. If you look at, you will see this has happened to them. Wherever they went, people looked after them. They had no difficulty because that is how they have seen the world, without any, on an equal level, instead of seeing, differentiating one over the other. In Ramayanam, you will see Ramachandra had monkeys to help, squirrels to help to build the bridge, and all these things, they all done that, it is on the strength of this truthfulness. Ramachandra is seeing all living entities on an equal level, not through the body. Therefore, they were all friendly with Ramachandra. They helped Ramachandra to build the bridge, isn't it? All the animals and birds and everyone participated in that war. They were all helping Ramachandra. So you can see it is on the strength of this truthfulness that so many great personalities, they have travelled in this world. They have travelled in this world on the strength of this understanding. When Prabhupada went to America, he had no friends there, isn't it? What was he saying? He said that Krishna is present everywhere. Why should I worry? Where did this coming from? It's coming from this verse. That strength comes from, because they have practiced that, not to look at anyone in a outside Krishna's presence, in recognizing Krishna's presence in everyone. Therefore, there were people to look after. There were people to look after. The same thing has happened to Vivekananda also. They went to America and there was nobody there to... They didn't go there fully organized everything. They went there, but then things happened. Wherever they went, there were people to care for them. The best example was Ramatirtha's case. Swami Ramatirtha, when he went there. Swami went to America, those days the facilities were not so good like today to travel. They had to travel by ship. Even Prabhupada had to go by ship, isn't it? 1965, 66, all that time. It's only now that we have all the modern travel facilities. Now the gurus are traveling first class from one continent to another. They are very free to travel. There is no problem at all. Wherever somebody is paying, that's okay. So anyway, one thing is that Ramatirtha went there. An interesting thing about Ramatirtha was that his attitude was that when his disciples or someone who were, he was very young, he was 27 or 28 when he traveled to America, and they put him on the ship and sent him to US. When he got there, he didn't know where he was going. Yes, we didn't have much information about America like what we have today. There's no information. So, but still, those who were in India, they told him that he should go. He should go. He had no money either. And they put him in the ship and sent him there. And no money. But when he got there, he was so fixed in this understanding of Bhagavad Gita's verses. When he got there, He was still very pleasant when he got to America. How tense we will be when we travel, isn't it? You think about that, how it is. So it was then that the ship arrived, and then he stood on the deck, looked at the land. At that time, someone came up to him and asked him, "Why are you standing here? Haven't you got any luggage? Are you not getting out?" He said, his answer was, "Rama never carries anything," he said. That was the way he answered. "Rama never carries anything. Haven't you got any bag, luggage with you?" He says, "No." "No money?" He said, "No, I have no money," he said. "Rama never carries any money." That was his reply to him. Why? Sannyasis, that is sannyasam. Sannyasam means like this. This is proper sannyasashram. To be dependent on Krishna completely, not to dependent on the facilities what we have arranged for the sannyasis. And that is why when you read these things from Ramakrishna's life, even Prabhupada's life and Vivekananda's life and all that, when you see that how things have changed, and it becomes very, very difficult. He asked her that question. He asked him, "Who is going to look after you?" This person asked Ramatirtha. Ramatirtha said to him, "You." He told him, "You are going to look after me." Not only he took him, seeing the sannyasis, that renunciation in the face, and his honesty, truthfulness in him, that person got attracted to him, told him, "Come with me," he said. Took him home. 2 years he stayed with him. Ramatirtha stayed. You can read this in the Woods of Self-Realization. He writes about this. And after that, this is the result of this realization. Samam Sarveshu Bhudeshu. He didn't see that. Krishna is present in that person. To that extent, when realization comes, this is what will happen. This is the proof of that. So otherwise, these verses have no meaning. We have so many examples like this. So many instances you see the same thing happening repeatedly again and again. That this is the result of that samadarshitvam, equal vision, what Krishna says there. Samam pashenhi sarvatra samavastidam ishwaram. Mahinasti altman altmanam tadoyadi paramgadim. So Krishna is saying here, if that samadarshitvam is there, then such a person param gatim yati. So such a person who has even in vyavaharam param gatim, that in other words, he will be sitting on the top of this knowledge, and on the top of this knowledge, in that liberated state, he will conduct his vyavaharam in this world. That's the important thing, message there. That they have, for them, there is no material life and spiritual life. They only have spiritual life. They are always spiritual. Once this realization has come, even when they conduct any vyavaharam in this world, they are always sitting on the top of this truth, what Krishna has spoken here. Samam pashenhi sarvatra. Therefore, their vyavaharam also goes through without any difficulty. In vyavaharam also it will go through in the same way. Because in vyavaharam, what will happen is, in vyavaharam, according to the, he will not experience the distress or the happiness what we experience in vyavaharam. For us, vyavaharam is everything, isn't it? If vyavaharam goes well, we are happy. If vyavaharam goes wrong, we are totally upset. This is our condition. For them, whatever happens in vyavaharam, good or bad, it does not disturb them. It does not disturb them. Because they know very well that in vyavaharam, whatever that is happening, according to the prarabdham, it will come, whichever way it has to go, and they will be peaceful about that. They will be peaceful about that. Because whether you are a sannyasi or a grihastha or a brahmachari, or you are a wealthy person with a lot of wealth, in very great opulence, if you live in this world, you will still be very peaceful in shanti. Peaceful in shanti state. And instead, if you are very poor, extremely poor, still you will be very peaceful. extremely poor, you'll be very peaceful. Because reason is that the shanti comes to that person. Once the shanti has come, then these changes or fluctuations in our material situations will not affect that person anymore. That is the important thing. Do you know how this has come in the Bhagavatam? The shanti is the important thing Krishna wants to present it to us. That is the reason the story of Sudama in the Bhagavatam. Krishna and Sudama, too extreme, isn't it? Krishna extremely opulent, extremely wealthy, and materially so well that when Sudama came to see Krishna, Sudama's condition, there was no one poor than Sudama in this world. He was that poor, he was, wasn't he? So Krishna says to him, if you read, this is what you have to pick up from the Bhagavatam. Not all the story, what has happened, what conversation between Krishna and Sudama. Krishna is asking Sudama, how well are you? Krishna says, very well, he says, completely in shanti. Sudama is asking Krishna, Krishna says, I am also in total shanti. This is the reply. Shanti is the way they have replied. They didn't say that I am doing very well or the top of the world or anything like that. He says, I am in shanti. That is the answer. Krishna says, and Sudama also says, I am in shanti, he says. That shanti state is the indication of this samadarshitvam, equal vision. From there comes shanti. When we talk about this, we will not understand it properly. Only when you experience it, you will know what it means, how important that is. From shanti comes from this samadarshitvam. That is why in Bhagavad Gita throughout, Krishna is saying shanti, shanti, shanti everywhere. Is it not? You know that, how many places Krishna has spoken about shanti. Whereas most of us are thinking, oh, if you are Krishna conscious, you are always jubilant and jolly and feeling very excited about it and whatever you think. That is not what Krishna is saying. Proper symptom of a person who has spiritual realization is this shanti inside. Under no circumstances he gets disturbed. That shanti inside. So, so Krishna asked this question, Sudama, how are you? He says, extremely in shanti state, he said. What is the reason? Because that shanti, how did that happen to him? Krishna is saying there that it is due to the mercy of the Guru. Mercy of the Guru. Sadguru, because Krishna says here that I am also feeling the same shanti what you are feeling. Why these two different situations shown in the Bhagavatam? To tell us that material situations has nothing to do with the shanti inside a person. That shanti is a different thing. It has nothing, whereas in most people's case, it's the material situations that dictate the shanti inside. Isn't it? That shouldn't happen. Guru anugrahe neiva puman purna prashandaye. This is the word in the Bhagavatam. By mercy of the Sandipani Maharshi. Sandipani Maharshi was their guru, isn't it? Guru anugrahe neiva. Sandipani Maharshi has blessed both Krishna and Sudama equally when they were at the Gurukulam. So the result was that Guru Anugrahe Neiva Puman Purna Prashandaye, complete shanti comes to a person due to the mercy of the Guru, spiritual master. He says like that. So you look at this way, Krishna is Dwaraka, Dwaragadish, isn't it? Ishwara of Dwaraka. And Sudama not only is not an ish, Dwaragadish, but his material situation was really, really very, very poor. And both of them are saying the same thing. That is the beauty. Krishna is saying the same thing, that I am in extreme shanti. Sudama is also saying, am feeling extreme shanti inside. How is this possible? Guror anugrihenaiva puman purna prashandaye. So both of them, due to the mercy of the spiritual master, this samadarshitvam, equal vision, what Krishna is saying here, has happened. Samam pashyanhi sarvatra samavastidam ishwaram nahinati atman atmanam tatvayadi paramgadim tatvayadi paramgadim. Again, referring to this shandi throughout Bhagavad Gita, you must remember this, that all those verses where Krishna has spoken about shandi, 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 stressing that again and again, you can see that in the Bhoktaram Yajna. Krishna begins with the 66th verse in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Nastir buddhira yuktasya naja yuktasya bhavana naja bhavaya shandir ashandasya kutas sukham. He says there, isn't it? That how can there be any happiness without peace? He says, na chabha avayada shandir ashandasya na chabha avayada shandir ashandasya kutasukham, in the 66th verse. And then Krishna says again, after that, if you go into 70th verse, he says, apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudramaba pravishandi yadvad tadvad kamanyam pravishandi sarve sa shantim apnoticha kamakami. Kamakami will never have shanti, Krishna is saying. But abhuryamana machala pratishtam, a sthita prajnan or a realized person, he is always in the shanti state. Look at verse 71, the next one. Vihaya kamanya sarvan pumam sharada nispraha nirmamo nirahankara sa shantim adigachari. Again shantim. So shanti is the state of self-realization. Shanti is the state of self-realization. Again in the next chapter, Krishna mentions Bhoktaram Yajnatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhrdam Sarvabhudanam Nyatvamam Shanti Mruchadi. He mentions there, isn't it? And then again, finally, Krishna mentions Ishwara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yandrarudhani Mayaya. Then he says, Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata Malprasadal Param Shandim Sthanam Prapsasi Shashwadam. So, why everywhere this about Shanti is spoken? For this reason only, that if you want to see the person's spiritual position, look at what is the state of Shanti inside in him. Material situation should not disturb the Shanti inside. That is spiritual life. Spiritual life means that. So it is from that state Krishna is saying these things. So that Shanti has come from Samadarshitvam. And the best example is Krishna and Sudama in the Bhagavatam. When Krishna meets up with Sudama, Sudama and Krishna spoke to each other, isn't it? If you look at that verse, you will see there, Guruvar Anugraheneva Puman Purna Prashandaye. That Shanti has come because of the mercy of the spiritual master, he says. If you look into chapter 1080-43, Itham Vidha Anyane Gani Vasadam Guru Veshmasum Guror Anugrahe Neiva Puman Purna Prashandaye. Puman Purna Prashandaye, that Shanti inside, that is the Krishna's words. It is Krishna's words in the Bhagavadam while talking about this Shanti has come because of the spiritual master's grace or master's mercy. So like that. So whether things go in Vyavaharam properly or not, Vyavaharam will continue in that way. Still, acquiring outside, Shanti don't come from the world outside. From the external world, it doesn't come. It comes from inside. It comes from inside. So, always Shanti. Always that Shanti state. We talked about yesterday also. Lord Vishnu is lying down on the snake in the water. And what is Vishnu's state there? Shandakaram Bhujagashayanam Palmanabham Suresham Vishwakaram Gaganasadrisham Meghavarnam Shubhangam. If you look into the Vishnu Sahasranam, thousand names of Vishnu, Vishnu is spoken like this, Shandagaram, always in Shanti. Imagine if you are lying, if a snake is underneath your bed, will you feel any Shanti inside? Here, he is lying on top of the snake itself and he is feeling Shanti. That is the difference. But even if you don't have to see the snake, somebody tells you that, I think there is a snake in the room. That's enough. You won't get sleep, would you? That's enough to frighten us. So it says here that Krishna, Vishnu is lying here in the ocean and that too on top of a snake. And he is in Shanti. Shandagaram, he says. Shandagaram. And the next word is Bhujagashayanam. Bhujagashayanam means lying on top of the snake. And he is in Shanti. And he is in Shanti. So, Padmanabham Suresham. So, first of all, the ocean is not peaceful, isn't it? It's always waves moving, the body is moving. And still there is no disturbance. And lying on the top of the snake is not disturbed. And at the feet, who is there? Mahalakshmi. Lakshmi is there at the lotus feet, isn't it? So, if you have so much wealth, is it possible to get sleep? This is all what that is indicating. We normally think that Mahalakshmi is sitting there means, so Mahalakshmi is massaging 24 hours Vishnu's feet. We start thinking that he's lying on top of the snake and we start thinking, what is this God is doing all these kind of things? Actually, what he's trying to tell us is that Shanti is possible even with the largest amount. People who have got the greatest wealth, they have no Shanti. That is what we see in this world. People who have nothing, they have more Shanti in this world. Generally, that's how it is, isn't it? They can go home in the evening and sleep comfortably because there's nothing to be lost. Whereas the ones who have got billions and billions, his mind is always disturbed, isn't it? So there is no Shanti there. Well, how come that Vishnu, lying on the top of the Adishesha, in the ocean, he is feeling Shanti? Shandakaram, Bhujagashayanam, Palmanabham Suresham, Vishwagaram Gagana Sadrasham, Meghavarnam Shubhangam. So you can see with so much, Mahalakshmi is there means what? A lot of wealth, isn't it? So much wealth there. Here what do we see? If you have so much wealth, you have to take tablets to get sleep. You won't get sleep otherwise, isn't it? So here Vishnu, keeping Mahalakshmi at his feet, he is getting good sleep without any tablets. And that too, lying on top of a snake. So, and what is that indicating to us? This is what Krishna is saying to us as Sthita Prajnatvam in the second chapter. If you remember, that there are so many examples mentioned there for Sthita Prajna. Arjuna asked that question. It is an answer to that these verses were spoken. Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha Samadhistasya Keshava. What is his state? Arjuna asked that question to Krishna. So in answer to that, Krishna is saying those verses about Shanti all the time, stressing that point. So sthita prajnatvam means one whose prajna is in the steady state. So poverty or wealth or anything that is happening in the vyavaharam or whatever happens according to the prarabdham, none of them will disturb that state inside. Internal state of the sthirada, that is sthira prajnatvam. Because so this prajna inside, that has become sthidam. That is what sthira prajnatvam word means, isn't it? Prabhupada translates that as steady intelligence. Calls it as steady intelligence. Steady intelligence means that prajna inside has become steady. Not this brain. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about prajna inside, consciousness, he is steady. He's not getting disturbed anymore. So, therefore, so, with our ability and willpower, what we have to get is this sthira prajnatvam, internal success. So, and leave the body to prarabdham. So, whatever situation, according to prarabdham, body will be in whatever situation it happens. Leave that to that, to the prarabdham, and internally, antarigam, in other words, prajna
in the Sthita Prajnatvam state. And that is what Krishna calls it as at Param Gadim here, in this verse. If you look into that verse, you'll see there, Te Vyandi Param Gadim, Samam Pashyanhi Sarvatra, Samavastidam Isharam. Nahyenas Tatman Almanam Te Vyandi Param Gadim. Isn't it? So what is that Parangadi? This is that state, Jivan Mukta state, where whatever that happens to the body, whatever that happens in the Vyavaharam, inside Shanti is always, always in a Shanti state. Tebhyadi Parangadim. That is the importance of that. Samam Pashyanhi Sarvatra Samavastidam Ishwaram Nahinasti Alpman Alpmanam Tebhyadi Parangadim. Tebhyadi Parangadim. That's the importance of that verse. So, we look at all these examples, whether from here, from this world, or from Vaikuntham, these rules don't change. Whether you are in Vaikuntham, the same rule apply. Whether you are here, the same rule apply. Spiritually realized people, or anyone, doesn't matter. Krishna's different incarnations also, all have shown this, that the realized state will be like this. Will be like this, that there is no movement inside anymore. Internally in Shanti, externally they have succeeded in leaving the body and the mind to Prarabdham. Let the Prarabdham determine what has to come for the body. That separation from the body and the mind, this is what it means. That's so clear to them that they are completely separated from the body and they are situated in that state. That is why it is possible. This can happen. So, this, if you look at this way, that this is what is what we Tebhyadi Parangadim. That Parangadim, what Krishna says here, means that knowledge, that realization, in other words, or self-realization of the self. How is he able to do that? How are they able to do that? Because this also you have to take notice of. If you look at the body of a realized soul, everybody's body is different. Those who are self-realized, if you look at their body, from the bodily level, if you look at them, there is a huge difference between one to another. Between one to another. Look at this way. Janaka was a king, wasn't he? Very wealthy, and emperor he was. So much wealth he had. Sudama was extremely poor. Krishna is addressed as full of pastimes, Lila Purushan, yes, isn't it? And Krishna's activities here in this world, if you look at Krishna's activities here in this world, ever since Krishna appeared, till he departed from this world, it was full of activities. Is it not? Full of activities. There was no peace from the day of appearance. There itself the problem started. The day Krishna appeared here, problem started in the prison house. Whole thing started from the prison house. Traveling to Gokulam, there was no peace there either. Came to Vrindavanam, there was no peace. Went to Mathura, there was no peace. Went to Dwaraka, there was no peace. There was no time, if you read Mahabharatam, Bhagavatam, there you don't find one day Krishna had a peaceful situation. Either fighting, politics, or marriages, or something or the other was going on throughout life, full of actions. Full of action, isn't it? Even after Krishna took control of Dwaraka, there was no peace. On the other hand, you look at Ramachandra's life. Ramachandra, after Ravana was killed, there was no any more. They say in the Ramayanam, something like 60,000 years, there was a very peaceful situation in Ayodhya. Very peaceful. So Ramachandra had a very peaceful situation. Krishna had a very turbulent life. Everybody is different. Sudama had extreme poverty. Janaka was living in extremely wealthy conditions. And if you look at this, and Vasishtha, of all the people, very much attached to performing sacrifices. Yagam and Yajnam. And therefore he was addressed sometimes as Karmatan. Karmatan means that one who gets too attracted to Yajnam or Yagam. That is why Nimi cursed Vasishtha and Vasishtha cursed Nimi. In the Bhagavatam you can read that. So Vasishtha was like that. Also another realized soul. Shuga Brahmarshi, Shugadeva Goswami was a avadhuta, wasn't it? He has no connections anywhere with anything. So, if you look at each one of these personalities, their swabhavam was different, was it not? All of swabhava means their actions in this world. They were all different. Shuga Brahmarshi was like an avadhuta, no connection with anything in this world, moving around in that way. Always, no connection anywhere. Tam sarvabhuta hridayam muni manadosmi. That was him. Yasyanubhavam akhila shruti saramekam adhyatmadivam adititirshadam tamondam samsarinam karunayah purana guhyam tam vyasasuvinam upayami guru muninam. Says Sudha Goswami about Shuka Brahmarshi. No connection with anything in this world. Always travelling alone and always no attachment anywhere. That is Shuka Brahmarshi. Vasishtha, on the other hand, opposite. Always absorbed in Yajnam and Yagam, and for so many kings in the Solar Dynasty, he was their spiritual master and Purohit, who conducted so many sacrifices and gave us and spoke Yoga Vasishtham to Ramachandra and all that. So that is Vasishtha's life. Ramachandra ruled very peacefully after he killed Ravana. So there was a peaceful existence a long time in Ramachandra's life. Krishna's life, totally different. From day one till the point Krishna left this world, full of action. Full of action. Janaka ruled the kingdom at Ayodhya from Mithila, and administration carried on totally unaffected by everything. But their realizations were always the same. Actions were different. Actions were different. Life was different in this world when we look at it from outside, but their realizations always they had the same. Swabhavam was different. Swarupam was always the, they were always fixed in the Swarupam. But if you ask the question why their bodies were not similar in the same way, why Vasishtha could not be like Janaka, or why Janaka could not be like Shuka, Sukadeva Goswami? Because in Devi Bhagavatam, Shuka Brahmarshi argues with Janaka about this. He is arguing about this with Janaka. Shuka Brahmarshi asks him, how could you live like an emperor like this in the, and you were so peaceful about it? Who said this? Shuka Brahmarshi. Sukadeva Goswami asked this question to Janaka like this. So you have so much to do, and managing the whole kingdom is not an easy thing for a king, isn't it? It's a lot of responsibility. So he says to him that how is that you were able to do this without any difficulty and retain this state of self-realization? And you are engaged in the world so much, and in order to engage yourself in the world, you require your brain, mind and intelligence also. So Janaka asked a question back to Shuka Brahmarshi like this. He says, when you go to the forest and you don't have even food, how come you are so peaceful that even without food you are able to stay in the state of realization? Shuka Brahmarshi says to him that to acquire some food in the forest doesn't require a lot of intelligence, he said. Somehow with a little effort, I can get that food. Little bit of intelligence if I use, and I can collect my food in the forest, it's not difficult. And that much intelligence I have got, he said. Shuka Brahmarshi says to Janaka. And with that intelligence, I acquire my food, he says like that. So Janaka says to him, how much intelligence you need to acquire the food, and that much intelligence is put inside your body, inside your system. What is required for your acquiring food, what intelligence you need, that much intelligence is already put into your body. And that much intelligence Krishna has put in me as well, he says. And that is sufficient to administer the kingdom. This was his answer. That is sufficient to... And it is only keeping that same intelligence I'm running this administration. We think that how is this possible? This is what the question we have to ask. They know very well, you have to remember this, it is not for Shuga Brahmarshi's purpose Janaka has spoken this. It's for our purpose. Shuga Brahmarshi and Janaka are both in the realized state. They are talking to each other to show to us that all these things are in the Upadhi. Which one? The Upadhi, Buddhi, intelligence, mind, they are our Upadhi, isn't it? So to maintain this body, or whatever that has to happen through this body, that capacity for doing that is kept provided in this body by Krishna's arrangement. Self-realization is not disturbed by that. There is no connection between the two. We, because of our misunderstanding, oh, I have got so much to do in my material life, therefore spiritual life is difficult for me. That argument is not valid. That is the point the Shuga Brahmarshi and Janaka is proving to us. Shuga Brahmarshi is saying that Upadhi will do what it has to do. Shuga Brahmarshi's Upadhi is simple. Need something to eat, somewhere to lie down. That's all. Janaka's Upadhi is big. But whatever that Upadhi requires, that much mind and brain is already there in that Upadhi. It doesn't need anything extra from the self. Self-realization and the Upadhi has no connection. That is the proof of that. This is what that discussion is all about. And they have selected deliberately, this is in the Devi Bhagavatam, deliberately Shuga Brahmarshi and Janaka for this reason, that they both realized the soul. And both are extremely contradicting personalities. Janaka living like a householder, has got family, has got a kingdom to manage, and still always in the state of self-realization. Shuga Brahmarshi, sannyasi or avadhuta, you can say, no connection with the world, nothing to be worried about except to worry about the food, nothing else to worry about, still in the state of self-realization always. So irrespective of our material conditions, irrespective of our material nature, these changes are all in the Upadhi. Upadhi will change, self-realization is not affected. That's the point Krishna is making there in these verses. That therefore you can see here that in Janaka's Upadhi, the power that is required for running the kingdom, for running his household life, that's already there in Janaka's Upadhi. And Janaka cannot stay like Shuga Brahmarshi because he has got all this going on in his life, administration and householder life, everything. And Shuga Brahmarshi cannot sit like Janaka either because he is a traveler, always traveling. Never wants to stay in the Bhagavatam, Godohanam Kochid. You know, he doesn't stay more than a time to milk the cow in one place. That is how much he is on the move all the time. So, this important point, why? Because from this you can understand that not to get disturbed over the problems of the Upadhi. Upadhi things will happen, that will prarabdham will bring whatever it has to come. But always we have to separate Upadhi from the self-realization. Self-realization is totally different business. And when, because of our identification with the body, we get caught up in this Upadhi's business and we think that spiritual life is affected. We think spiritual life is affected. This happens to everybody. Initially, we will all go through this phase in life. But little by little, when we realize it, you will know how to move away from the Upadhi's problems. Upadhi's problems is never going to go. It will always be there. One way or the other, it will come. In one form or the other, it will come. But Upadhi's problem, let it come. Because when it comes, it has to do its job. That is coming from the Prakriti. Upadhi's problems are coming from the Prakriti. Self-realization is coming from the Self, from Krishna. From Krishna it's coming. So, not to mix these two things together, always to keep them apart. That is our spiritual life. That is spiritual life. Not mixing them together. Using one thing and the other and saying that this is causing that problem, that's causing this problem. Some people say, because I have too much spiritual life, I don't get time to do anything. Some people say like that. You must have seen. I'm so much absorbed in my spiritual life, I have no time for anything else. Some people say the opposite also. That is, there is so much spiritual material activities, I have no time for my spiritual life. Krishna is saying that this is, both are wrong. They are two different things. Spiritual life can never be disturbed over by the problems of the upadhi. Upadhi's business is that, that you can't do anything about it. Sometimes, you, irrespective of these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, if it is properly understood, then upadhi should not come on the way. Why should not come on the way? All these examples why we are talking about is to get this point through, point across. Sudama's example, Krishna's example, Ramchandra's example, Janaka's example, Vasishtha's example, Sukadeva Goswami's example, Eknath Swami's example. All these, they, of course, Janaka, Vasishtha, Shuka, Brahmarshi and all belong to long time ago. But even recent times, like all the great personalities, like Eknath, Yaneshwar, all of them were like this. All the Acharyas, they are all like that. Upadhi's problem, they will not allow to involve in their spiritual life. Upadhi's problem is Upadhi's problem. That's nothing to do with the self. Nothing to do with the self. So that's the important point. There's one story from Ramathirtha mentions this in the because he was a realized soul, so he spoke in that way. He mentions there that a squirrel and a mountain had a quarrel, he says. And mountain called the squirrel, "You are a little piece, what are you talking so big things?" he said to the squirrel. So squirrel says to the mountain that, "I'm not big like you, but you're not small like me," he said. Because that is upadhi, isn't it? Upadhi is like that. If I cannot carry big forests like you, like the mountain is carrying on my back, neither can you crack a nut like the way I can crack, he said. So you will see this. In upadhi differences, Krishna has created every species differently. Birds have got the capacity to fly. They don't get disturbed over the height, isn't it? When we go to heights, we get disturbed, isn't it? The height causes a tremor inside. When you go to the higher building, 60-story, 80-story building, and you start looking up, you're always holding on to the chain or looking down, isn't it? So, whereas small birds, when they fly in such heights, they don't seem to have any problem. So, these are all the difference in the upadhis. Difference in the upadhis. So the squirrel told the mountain, "Keep quiet," he said. "That you can't do what I can do, and I can't do what you can do. So what?" he said. "There is a difference in the upadhi." So what we have to recognize is a difference in the upadhi. So their upadhis are different. But jnani, a self-realized soul, is not the upadhi. It's not the upadhi. We are not calling a person's body as such jnani, isn't it? Because if you start calling like that, it will cause confusion. It's not his body that you are calling as the realized soul. It is that spirit inside, consciousness, that we are addressing as the realization. So, this you can see among the great spiritual masters also. Great acharyas, if you look, they were in one way and their disciples were different. Their disciples were, both were realized, but both acted two different ways. That is again due to the difference in the upadhi. Difference in the upadhi. Realized soul, the spiritual master was realized, the disciple was realized, but they acted differently. Due to the difference in the upadhi, they acted differently. In other words, according to the swabhavam, it will change. And swabhavam is that upadhi. Swabhavam comes from the upadhi. Upadhi, I mean body, mind, intelligence, all those things, which has nothing to do with the self. So, This you can see in many other personalities also. Jesus was different from Buddha. Prophet was different from Jesus. They were all different, weren't they? They were all different. What is the reason for that? That the reason was, body is doing different things according to the Sabhav. According to the Sabhav and according to the Prarabdham. It will do what it has to do. And that actions, what they do with their body and the Upadhi, should not be taken seriously. Should not be taken seriously in spiritual life. And you can see, Krishna did so many things here. And the important thing to remember is that although all these actions were different of these great personalities, none of them binds them. That is the important thing. That because of their difference in the Upadhi, their activities were different. Krishna's activities were different from Ramachandra's activity. Ramachandra's activities were different from Vamanamurti's activity. Isn't it? And Vanamurti's activity is different from Narasimhamurti's activity. So different activities they have performed. But in their realization, in their spiritual position, they are all in the same state. They are all in the same state. The important thing is to remember, even though Upadhi is doing various things, none of them binds them. Binds them. And that why it is like that, the answer for that is the next verse. See how important these verses are. You can see it is not just spoken something casually and I start looking at everyone, everybody is equal now. That's not the idea behind it. Inside we have to get that understanding. Why samam pashyanhi sarvatra? Samam pashyanhi sarvatra will come when you separate Upadhi from yourself first. You have moved away from the Upadhi. Upadhi will do various things in this world. That is what all this Bhagavadam is teaching us. Krishna has done so many things. Varahamurti has done something else. Narasimhamurti did something else. Ramchandra did something else. Mujugunda did something else. All of them did various things. Rishabhadev did in something. Prithu did something else. Prithu Maharaj's story, if you read, it's a totally different story altogether. Is it not? So, after realization, when they act, when self-realization has happened, afterwards, when they act in this world, even though all their activities may be different, none of those actions will bind them. Whereas, when you have not come out of the Upadhi, you are still with the Upadhis. When we conduct our Upadhis in this world, every action binds us here. Every action binds us here. So, none of these activities binds them. The answer to that is the next verse. Let's look at that. 30. Prakrityaiva cha karmani kriyamanani sarvasha ya pashyati tathalmanam akartaram cha pashyati prakrityaiva cha karmani kriyamanani sarvasha ya pashyati tathatmanam akartaram sa pashyati prakrityaiva cha karmani kriyamanani sarvasha ya pashyati tathatmanam akartaram sa pashyati. One who can see that all activities are performed by the body, which is created of material nature, and sees that the self does nothing, actually sees. See that? So, seeing is just not seeing only with the eyes. All this realization has to be within. That is proper seeing. Proper seeing means all these verses has affected your thoughts or your life in this world. Then you are seeing properly. Otherwise you are not seeing, Krishna is saying. says prakrityaivacha karmani kriyamanani sarvasha ya pashyati tadhalpanam akartaram sa pashyati. He says here, yeah, isn't it? So Krishna says pashyati. Pashyati means he is seeing. Who is seeing? Akartaram ya pashyati sa pashyati. In other words, you have to connect that with the last words. Akartaram ya pashyati sa pashyati. Remember in the previous words? Krishna is saying here the 28th verse. Ya pashyati sa pashyati. This verse is connected with that. Here Krishna is saying akartaram sa pashyati. One who sees ya pashyati tadalpanam akartaram sa pashyati. Akartaram sa pashyati ya pashyati. He is seeing who is seeing akartaram. Akartaram sa pashyati. So one who is seeing akartaram, he is the one who is seeing, in other words. Who is that akartaram? Akartaram, who is the akarta? Akarta means almanam. It says, isn't it? Ya pashyati tadalpanam akartaram yaha pashyati. In other words, my real identity, my swarupam, he does not do anything. Again, coming back to the same basic, soul has nothing to do. Soul doesn't do anything. Soul doesn't do anything. Kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam. Two things, isn't it? I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Who got it? Jiva got it. Atma doesn't have. Ahankaram has got it. False ego has got it, that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. The self, the soul doesn't have any ownership. I am the doer or I am the enjoyer. That is what he is saying here. Akartaram ya pashyati. Akartaram, in other words, kartrutva lesha sambandham. In other words, I am the doer, that even a trace of that doesn't touch the self inside. Even a trace of that. And one who knows that and working, all Krishna's activities is based on this principle. Otherwise, can you imagine, 6.5 million people died in the Mahabharata war and Krishna is smiling still. Why? This is the reason. Akartaram ya pashyati. I am not the doer. Only, whereas Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was crying all the time, oh, I am responsible, I am responsible. Isn't it? Krishna told him, you are not responsible. You are not responsible. But he couldn't digest it. Who? Yudhishthira. Therefore, they had to go to Bhishma, and Bhishma had to tell him later. So, important thing is, these principles of spiritual life doesn't change. Wherever you go, they remain the same. This principle. Akartaram ya pashyati. Nobody has done anything here. Nobody is doing anything here. Of course, if you say that to somebody, they'll say, oh, I've got so much to do, they'll say. So much on my head, shoulders, I have on my head and the shoulders, both. But the thing is, Krishna's point is that kartrutvam is gone completely from that person. That is why Krishna had no difficulty killing Kamsa. Uncle, isn't it? Nephew jumped onto the top of his chest and punched him there. No problem at all. And after Kamsa left the body, Krishna says, moved on from there. Next thing, he wanted to celebrate that with others. No problem with anything. In the sense that, so Krishna is saying here, Prakritiyaiva karmani. Prakritiyaiva karmani, Krishna is saying. Prakriti is doing everything. Prakritiyaiva karmani. Prakriti is doing everything. That realization, prakritiyaiva karmani. Prakriti is doing everything. So, in any situation, all the realized soul, this is their position. This is their position. So, Jnani's experience is like this, that Jnani is not thinking that my body has come from Prakriti. He's not only thinking that. What else is he thinking? He's thinking, not only the body has come from Prakriti, whatever activities are happening in the body is also done by Prakriti. This is the difference. This is the difference. So that means you can imagine that state of consciousness, how it is, like that. That nothing in this world disturbs inside, because they have totally separated from the body. totally separated from the body. He is thinking, already he knows very well that the body has come from the Prakriti. That much he, Krishna has spoken also in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Umirapanalo vayu khamano buddhireja, buddhirevaja, ahangare diyame bhinna prakriti ashtada, ashtada prakriti. These eight things, which one, five material elements, gross body, mind and five, earth, water, air, ether, fire, and then mind, intelligence, false ego. These eight combined together is called aparaprakriti. Aparaprakriti it's called, and that is come from prakriti. One step further, realized soul, they know that has come from prakriti. Plus, if ever any activities are happening through the body, also they know very well they are not doing it. Prakriti is doing it. This is that realization. That is realization. Not only the body, even the actions of the body is also prakriti is conducting. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. When we say prakriti, gunam, three gunams. Drunai karmani sarvasha, ahangara vimundhalma kartaham idhi manyade. So many times Vedavyasa has repeated this in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam Kavila Maharshi also. Still we have doubts about it. Is it not? Although Vedavyasa stressed this point, he even called us mudha, one who is thinking that he is the doer. Still we'll accept the mudha status rather than the realized person, what he is saying here. So, Prakriti is doing that. He knows very well, Yani knows very well, that my body is only a small part of that Prakriti. My body is only a small part of that Prakriti. Upanishads also says exactly the same thing. Yani's darshanam, how the Yani realizes Agni or Murda, Chachushin, Vindra, Suryu, Dikshra, Trevar, that a jnani who is fully settled inside, in self-realization, such a person, for him, Agni is the top of his head. And sun and the moon are the two eyes for him. And his words is all Vedam, Vedic injunctions. All directions are his ears. Heart is the sky and earth is the feet. Earth is the feet. When they say like that, what it means is that to such an extent he has separated from the Prakriti. Separated from the Prakriti. That means he is not seeing anymore through his own body. His own body. Everything in the creation he is seeing as Prakriti. He is seeing as Prakriti. So, in one way, if you talk about that, for him, everything is himself. That is why in the second canto of Bhagavatam, when Shuka Brahmarshi first talked about first incarnation of Krishna, what is that? Virat Swarupam, isn't it? That man, first incarnation of Krishna is Virat Swarupam, this creation. And how does he express that? Shuka Brahmarshi says there, second canto, he says that Padala Medasahi Padamulam. That Viral Purushan form is like this, he said. That whole material nature is his form. That's how he puts it. The mountains, the trees are his hair, the sky is his roof. And in that way, a explanation to Krishna's incarnations. In the first incarnation, Virat Swarupam. Padala Medasi Padamulam, that verse talks about that. So, he also knows very well, when he is talking about, in one way, everything is him. In another way, none of them is him. None of them is him. Because through all the bodies, he is eating. He is eating through all the bodies. That is how he is seeing it. See, when you are identifying with one body, your own body, so-called body, your own body, when you are identifying with that, you are localized. Is it not? Then you are seeing somebody else is eating, somebody else is sleeping, somebody else is doing something else in that way. But a person who has realized this, that material nature is managing this body. This is all can be only understood through realization, otherwise it's difficult. When material nature is managing this body, whoever is eating, you are eating. Whoever is sleeping, you are sleeping. all activities of the body would not have any individual presence. Why? Reason is, ahankaram, false ego, has completely gone from inside for that person because of self-realization. When the false ego completely goes away, then what happens in the creation is a total thing. It's not an individual thing anymore. That is why he says here that through all the bodies I am sleeping. Through all the bodies I am enjoying the senses. And all the time I am in the knowledge of the self. I am in the knowledge of the self. And except me, nothing else exists in this creation. And when you talk about creation, the whole Virat Swarupam is me. Virat Swarupam is me. That's why it's called Virat. Virat Swarupam, that's what it's called. Remember this about Shukha Brahma? She mentioned, again the same thing comes back. Tam Sarvabhuta Hridayam Munim Anathosmi. That is what that state it is called. Ahameva Vishwadhanim. But those who are looking at that person, who is realized in this way, when somebody is looking at him, he is only seeing his body. He cannot see his realization, can you? You can't experience the realization of a realized soul. All you can see about a realized soul is his body. That's all you can see him. So, in the eyes of a realized soul, for him, for that person, his body and others' body is all equal. Is all equal. And therefore, his own body and another person's body, his own body and the other another person's body, Krishna is saying here that Anya Shariravat Pashyati. What does that mean? If you look at that verse, he says, Prakrityaivacha Karmani Kriyamanani Sarvasha. Kriyamanani Sarvasha. Kriyamanani Sarvasha. That means he has no control in somebody else's body, even in the realized side. But he knows very well that the Atma who is present in his body and who is present in that body and somebody else's body is one. That is his realization. He is not seeing that all the bodies are, will work, operate according to his own way, his own thoughts. Instead, what is happening here is that Atma who is present in all the body, Vishu Atma, that is what is addressed as, that is non-different from me, from him. That is that realization. that it is because of this, if you have realized this truth of yoga, that is the reason when Durvasav Maharshi came to Pandavas and asked for the feast, Draupadi sent him to bathe in the river. Krishna came there and ate what was left in the pot, spinach or whatever that was there. And Durvasava Maharshi, along with his disciples, who was bathing in the river, they all felt full. Here, Krishna has eaten and they felt full. This is that principle. Due to realization. Krishna is operating in this platform all the time, isn't it? He is not operating like us in this world with ragadvesham. We... It's better not to talk our situation about it, isn't it? But to understand how different it is, Krishna is operating in this world. When Krishna is operating, all these things are happening. When we operate, what happens? Full of ragadvesham everywhere, is it not? So everything either success or failure, and then we evaluate that, then we blame everybody that they are responsible for all the problems what they have created. Like this, we pass our time in this world. And one day the curtain drops and we are gone. So this is our glorious life here. What point Krishna is making here is that if you have realized this verse, what Krishna is saying here, Prakrityaivacha Karmani Kriyamanani Sarvasha Ya Pashyati Tadhalpanam Akartaram Sa Pashyati. This verse is behind that pastime of Krishna. with Draupadi.
When Draupadi asked Krishna,
they explained her situation to Krishna, that Durvasava Maharshi is going to come with all his thousands of disciples for thee and expecting a feast from me. And she mentioned this to Krishna. Krishna told Draupadi not to worry. What was left, cooked and left in the pot, there was some spinach or whatever that was. Krishna said, give that to me. Krishna ate, Durvasava Maharshi, thousands of disciples were satisfied. In the Puranam, when the story comes, it comes like that. But the principle is more important. That Prakriteivacha Karmani Kriyamanani Sarvasha Yapashyadi Tathalpmanam Akartaram Sapashyadi. That is the principle behind that story. Principle behind that story. So, so this will happen. That even a small amount of food Krishna has consumed. Why? Because this is his state. Krishna's state, whatever Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, that is how Krishna was in this world, when Krishna was here. It's not that, oh, he gave some instructions and then he did what he liked and he went from here. It was never like that. This happened when Sri Narada Maharshi went to see, if you know that, householder life of Krishna. Narada Maharshi thought, how Krishna can maintain 16,108 wives and can have a householder life. So somebody asked Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi told them that Krishna can do all that because Krishna is the absolute truth. If he cannot do it, who else can do it? Narada Maharshi argued about it. They said to Narada Maharshi, have you seen it? If you have seen and you are telling us based on your shastram. But have you gone and verified yourself? So that's why Narada Maharshi had to go. Went to verify Krishna's householder life. So when he went there, what did he see in the Bhagavatam? You can read it. We talked about it in the 10th canto. That he saw there, first house entered was Rukmini's house, Rukmini Devi's house. There Krishna was sitting with Rukmini, talking about various householder matters and things like that. Narada Maharshi walked in. Krishna knew why Narada Maharshi had come. And Narada Maharshi immediately, when he got inside, Krishna and Rukmini paid their respects to Sri Narada Maharshi and told him that for what a long time we haven't seen you. And in a proper, like a householder, welcoming Sri Narada Maharshi, offering all respects to him, washed his feet and brought nice foodstuff to eat, things like that. Narada Maharshi spoke for a few minutes and left the house. Then he went to the next one, to Satyabhama's house. Jambavati's house, like that. When he went to Satyabhama's house, there Krishna and Satyabhama was playing chess. Krishna was about to lose also with Satyabhama. So when he saw Narada Maharshi walking in, Krishna thought this is a great opportunity to escape from this. He kicked the whole chessboard away from there and told Narada Maharshi like this, Satyabhama, that you see, this is how we are householders. As soon as we get an opportunity, we look for enjoyment. Isn't it? That's a normal nature in the householder life. As soon as you get an opportunity, the first thing, where can we have some sense gratification together? This is the householder's plan. So unless people like you come and guide us, we will always be like that, he says to Narada, teasing him in another way. Narada Maharshi didn't come there to look at all that. Narada Maharshi wanted to verify what Krishna is doing. How is he managing his householder life? So he spent some time there and Narada Maharshi left. Then he went to another home, a few homes he has visited like this, Jambavati, Satya, Mitravinda and many others. He went there. Everywhere he saw Krishna doing different things. So at that time, after a few houses, Narada Maharshi understood Krishna is everywhere, in every house. All the 16,108 houses, Krishna was present there. So he couldn't go through all the 16,000. If after 8 or 10, he decided to give up. Bhagavatam says in each house what was happening. Somewhere Krishna was looking after the children. Somewhere Krishna was practicing the using the weapons, art of, it's a kshatriya, isn't he? Art of using the weapons. Somewhere he was cooking the feast for the guests. Somewhere he was washing the feet of the brahmanas. And so various things Krishna was doing at different houses. After all that, Narada Maharshi understood now that it is possible for Krishna to run a household like this, 16,100 wives. And while he was going back, a person came up to him, Krishna's security man, came up and told Narada Maharshi, come here, he said. Come with me, he said. So Narada Maharshi thought, I have not done anything wrong. Are you going to arrest me or something? Police came, isn't it? The police he says, I am the local policeman, he said. Come with me, I have to take you to the boss. So he took him to Krishna. Krishna says to him, that's the first time Krishna calls Narada Maharshi, my dear son. He says to him that, I know why you have come. That you wanted to verify how I manage my household affair. Remember this, he said. I'm not the person who spoke dharmam to this world. I have shown in my life that it is possible to live according to that dharmam. And that is what is Bhagavad Gita. Whatever Bhagavad Gita has spoken, what Krishna has spoken, it is completely, exactly a personality. What the Bhagavad Gita is talking about was Krishna in this world. In all activities. Everything, if you see a perfection of this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, that is Krishna. That is what Narada Maharshi was told. Krishna told Narada Maharshi, I'm not a person who come here to instruct others and to go away from here. No, my life is my message, in other words. My life itself is Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's life in this world is Bhagavad Gita. That makes the difference. Isn't it? That makes the difference. That is why when we read these verses, no one else is the best example. Krishna himself is the best example for everything. Prakrityaivacha karmani kriyamanani sarvasha yapashyati tathalpanam akartaram sapashyati. When that is why Krishna is saying yapashyati sapashyati. One who sees like this, he is seeing. Otherwise he is not seeing. Krishna never looked at anyone. He is not seeing Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, Prahlada like that. He is seeing Krishna himself within all of them. We are seeing Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada and Akrura and Uddhava separately. Krishna is not seeing like that. That is why Krishna had never any difficulty in leaving Vrindavanam when he had to go. Krishna had no problem in leaving Uddhava at the final moments. After spending 115 years with him, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, you go now. You can go. That's it. Never was any feeling of separation. Why? Because why? He's seeing a pashyadi sapashyadi. He's seeing like that all the time. If you are in that state, there is no separation. Isn't it? Separation is due to what? Due to the bodily identity. When you are on a spiritual platform, there is no separation. Because we are not in the spiritual platform, that is why separation disturbs us in life. Friends, family members, all these kind of things. Isn't it? So, this you will see in many instances, this has happened. Krishna's life is perfect example for everything what is in the Bhagavad Gita. But, if you look at even among great sannyasis, there are three sannyasis travelling together once. And they were travelling by train. And all of them were very hungry. All of them were very hungry. They were poor. They were travelling like sannyasis. Whatever they got food, they ate. That was their situation. So, by chance, somebody in the railway compartment gave one of the sannyasis some grapes or some fruits or something like that. When he got it, he ate everything himself. He didn't give it to the other two who were with them. Normally in material life we say we have to share. You have to share what you got, isn't it? But in spiritual life also you have to share till you get this stage. Up to that you have to share. Not that, oh, now that it is said like this in the Bhagavad Gita, said all the prasadam for me, you all sit and watch, I'll sit here and eat nicely. That's not what it means. This you have to see the state of the person. So these three sannyasis who are travelling, one of them ate the whole thing. Whole. He didn't give it to others. So others says to him, why you have not given us anything? They asked him. The both of them were starving. They were hungry at all. He said, wait for a minute. He said, everything will be okay. After a few minutes, they both felt that they were full. The other two. Because the other person knew, because of the realization inside, that it is possible one could eat, the other two could be satisfied. Other could be satisfied. Ahameva Vishwadanu Narayanaya Nama. There is a statement about that. So, all the karmam is happening in the prakriti. All this what Krishna is talking about is very high principles of the spiritual life. Very higher level things Krishna is talking about in this chapter. And What Krishna is saying here is that in that state, that all activities is happening in the karmam. That means practically, absolutely no connection with the doer, person, karta and bhokta. Karta and bhokta, no connection at all. First of all, no connection as karta. He is not thinking himself as karta. Nor, because he is not karta, he is not bhokta either. Karta means doer, bhokta means enjoyer. He is not the doer, he is not the enjoyer. From both these two identities, completely free himself. Jnani's position is like that. Completely freedom from the doership and the enjoyership. Neither the doer nor the enjoyer. Neither the doer nor the enjoyer. One who is seeing like that, who is seeing like that, he is seeing. Krishna says, he is seeing. That is what in that verse is talking about. Prakritayavacha karmani kriyamanani sarvasha ya pashyati tadhalmanam akartaram sa pashyati. So, last class and today, we have looked at these three verses. Which one? 28, 29 and 30. If you regularly reflect these verses, not only it will do good for yourself, but it will also help when you have to tell someone what is self-realization means in a proper way. You can present it to them. Because without this understanding, to tell someone what is self-realization, it's difficult. Self-realization is not based on the body, isn't it? It's based on the realization of the self. Now, if you tell someone self-realization, the question will always be, what is self-realization? You will ask that question. Many people don't understand it, what it means. People are saying self-realization, self-realization. What does that mean? You got to know that, explain to them what it means. And these three verses here are the best explanation for that, of self-realization. You can't explain it better than this, self-realization. Is it not? Samam, Krishna is saying, Samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram vinashyastu avinashyandam ya pashyati sapashyati. First one. Secondly, samam pashyanhi sarvatra samam avastidam ishwaram nahinasti atman atmanam tadoyadi paramgadim. Then finally, prakritayavacha karmani kriyamanani sarvasha ya pashyati tadhalpmanam akartaram sapashyati. We have looked at these three verses and we have seen how all these three verses are very closely connected with a realized soul. With a realized soul. So if you want to present about a spiritual personality, if you see these three qualities, these three verses in that person, you can say that he is realized. He is realized. And that intelligence we must have. To see that, even though we may see the body in a person, these are the internal signs of that person, internal structure. Subtle body has to be like this. In this way, he should be operating in this world. If this is not happening, you can very much take it that person is in the same situation as we all are. We all are. So, again, so important those three verses. This 13th chapter is particularly important, and some of the many verses in this chapter are also very important. So, after this, Krishna moves on. Let's look at the next verse.
Yadha bhuta prathak bhavam ekastam anupashyati tata evaja vistaram Brahma sampadya detada yada bhuta pradhak bhavam ekastam anupashyati tatham evaja vistaram Brahma sampadya detada.
Another interesting verse. Krishna is saying yada bhuta pradhak bhavam ekastam anupashyati tatham evaja vistaram Brahma sambadhyade tatha. When a sensible man ceases to see different identities, different identities, which are due to different material bodies, he attains to the Brahman conception. Thus he sees that beings are expanded everywhere. Beings are expanded everywhere. So, important verse again talking about self-realization. Krishna is saying, when a sensible man ceases to see different identity, that means seeing the body, which are due to different material bodies. So difference is due to material body, not due to self. It's clear, isn't it? Self, there is no difference. It is in the body, all the differences. And one has reached that state is Brahman conception, he says. Thus he sees that all beings are expanded everywhere. You can see in the purport, Prabhupada mentions, when one can see that the various bodies of living entities arise due to the different desires of the individual soul and do not actually belong to the soul itself, one actually sees. Same thing. You can't change this. This knowledge can't be changed. Whether you are an Advaiti or Vishishtadvaiti or Achintya Vedavidam, whatever you follow philosophically, these principles don't change. Krishna is mentioning here that yatha bhuta prithak bhavam. This prithak bhavam is this multi nature of the bodies, different natures of the body. And he says that ekastam anubhashyati, and what happens to him? Brahma sambadhyade tada. He becomes Brahma sambhati. Brahma sambhati means samadhi state, or Brahma samadhi, or Brahman realization, whichever way you call it. For whom is this talking about? One who is doing, while he is doing the vyavaharam, transactions in this world. It is then this is important, not otherwise. When a person who has realized Brahman, even when he is conducting his vyavaharam in this world, transactions in this world, Krishna is saying he is in the samadhi state. So that is why prithak bhavam. Prithak means everyone different, isn't it? So Krishna says here, yadha bhuta prithak bhavam ekastam anupashyati. Prithak bhavam is on the bodily level, but in the spiritual level, ekastam anupashyati. And he has started seeing that egastam rather than the pradakbhavam. Pradakbhavam has gone, egastam has come in. Now what Krishna is saying here is, he is seeing at that time all living entities are in that egastam. Previously what was happening? Egastam was present in pradakbhavam. Now Krishna is saying all prithak bhavam has come into egastam. This is exactly the symptom of a first class devotee also. Sarva bhudeshu yapashet bhagavad bhavam almana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. First class devotee's situation. Same thing. They cannot be different. Whether you are a jnani, as long as you have realized the truth that's realized the self, this is will be the effect of that person. Up to that time, till realizing that self, you can keep on arguing about this is right, that's right. But once the self-realization happens, there is no more argument after that. There is no more debate anymore required about it. That's finished all. Up to that time, because in the conditioned state, we are like that. We have to continue with that. So that is why Krishna is saying here that that means that egattva manupashyati means that in all living entities Krishna is present. That realization has come to him that I am present there, that experience. And in that experience you are seeing the world through the senses. You see? With that experience inside, you are seeing the world through the senses. And at that time you can see where is the creation then. When you are seeing the world through the creation through the senses in this consciousness, then it is then you have to ask the question, where is the creation? Where is the creation? So then you know that creation is in your experience. Is in your experience. In other words, all the names and form and which comes through the senses, names and forms comes through the senses. Senses interact with the mind, and mind finally transmits everything to the prajna, to the consciousness. So all these things, creation, the activities of the senses, activities of the mind, all of them is nothing but a movement in the consciousness. A movement in the consciousness in a very, very subtle level. That is why mind, at that time you will know what mind is. Till that point you won't know the mind. Mind is a very interesting phenomenon, isn't it, to study. Till now nobody has any answer about this mind. Vedantam talks about mind in one way. Science talks about mind in a different way. Vedantam says very clearly that this controlling of the mind, if you read Bhagavad Gita, many verses are about controlling the mind, is it not? And we don't even understand what mind is, and we want to control it. First of all, you don't even know what mind is it not? So this mind, in these verses Krishna is saying here, that when this ekatvam anupashyati, see here, ekastam anupashyati, when ekastam has come, that means pritak bhavam has gone and ekastam has come. Pritak bhavam is in the conditioned state, jivatvam it is. Ekastam is in the liberated state, brahma bhavam, brahma bhuta, prasanna atma, that state, ekastam. When ekastam comes, state comes, he realizes that all this creation means what? Namarupam, isn't it? Names and forms. All this namarupam and all this creation itself, which is experienced through the senses, which in turn influences the mind, and where it is experienced. That's where it is experienced, isn't it? Inside the mind. You will start realizing all of that is nothing but a movement or what is happening in the consciousness. In the consciousness or prajna. So at that point you will know what mind is. Then you can say that mind is nothing but what they use as the word in the Shastram is vijrambhanam. Vijrambhanam means, I don't know what the English word, it's a kind of upheaval that happens in the soul. So it's a kind of an upheaval that happens in the soul, that mind, thing called mind. And when that vijrambhanam, upheaval happens, pradakbhavam comes. Pradakbhavam comes. And when that upheaval goes away, ekastam comes. Ekastam anupashyati. So it is that ekastvam, bodham, awareness, that what we are experiencing, this variegatedness of the creation. Variegatedness of the creation. This is the reason realized souls know very well time and space means nothing for them. Because we have, time and space is important in Vyavaharam, isn't it? But for to understand creation, you have to understand it this way. Only then you know that within the framework of time and space, creation can be understood, otherwise it cannot be. You cannot understand creation looking at through the eyes and the ears. That's not how you understand creation. If you want to understand creation, you have to understand where is the creation happening. Creation is happening in me, isn't it? I am experiencing the creation. But in the liberated state, when you experience creation, you will know that creation hasn't happened, actually. It was only the power of that Maya. That is when you understand Maya better. So, so this is why Gandharva Swapna Nagara, who said this? Angiras. See, when realized people talk something, we won't understand. We think he is talking something. And they are thinking we are in this mess, what we are now. That is why with Chitragedu, it took a long time for who? For Angiras and Narada Maharshi, he had to tell them. Is it not? ഗന്ധർവ സ്വപ്നനഗര ഈ സ്വപ്നമായ മനോര ഗന്ധർവനഗര സ്വപ്നമായ മനോരഥ ഈ സൈ സ്വപ്നം മായ ദീസ് ടു തിങ്സ് ഇസ് ക്രിയേഷൻ ഇറ്റ്സ് എ സ്വപ്നം ആൻഡ് ഇറ്റ്സ് ഓൾസോ മായ ദീസ് ടു തിങ്സ് ആർ ഗോയിങ് ഓൺ ആൻഡ് സിറ്റിംഗ് ദർ വി ആർ ട്രൈങ് ടു അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് ക്രിയേഷൻ ഹൗ വിൽ അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് ക്രിയേഷൻ കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് കില്ലിംഗ് എസ് ദി ആൻസർ ടു ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദിസ് വേർഡ്സ് യഥാഭൂതപൃഥക്ഭാവം ഏകസ്ഥം അനുപശ്യതി തദേവ ച വിസ്താരം ബ്രഹ്മസമ്പദ്യതേ തഥാ കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് കണക്റ്റഡ് ബ്രഹ്മം റിയലൈസേഷൻ വിത്ത് ക്രിയേഷൻ ബ്രഹ്മ റിയലൈസേഷൻ വിത്ത് ക്രിയേഷൻ ഇറ്റ് സേസ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ആഫ്റ്റർ ദ പ്രഭുപാദ് മെൻഷൻസ് ഹിയർ വി ഫൈൻഡ് സംവൺ എ ഡെമിഗോഡ് സംവൺ എ ഹ്യൂമൻ ബീയിങ് എ ഡോഗ് എ കാറ്റ് എറ്റ്സെട്ര ദിസ് ഇസ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ വിഷൻ നോട്ട് ആക്ച്വൽ വിഷൻ The material differentiation is due to a material conception of life. After the destruction of the material body, the spirit soul is one. After the destruction of the material body, the spirit soul is one. Prabhupada writes here in the purport. He says here, so therefore, only when you have a material material concept or material consciousness, you identify with the body, then everything is separate, pratak bhav, which is called pratak bhav. As soon as this realization, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma stage comes, what will happen? Yada Bhuta pratak bhavam, ekastam anubhashyari, ekastam has happened, ekastam anubhashyari, tatha evaja vistaram, Brahma sambadhyade, tatha. Krishna says here, that at that point, then this pratak bhavam has gone, and that because everything is situated in that ekastam state, if it is not there, that ekastam state, creation doesn't exist. I think one should put a little bit brain into it and analyze this a little bit seriously, then you will know the foolishness of the science. You can easily understand the foolishness. There are so many people who are fully conscious of these things. Science is not able to capture this yet. Science is telling us, go on conducting experiments, go all over the world, find out how the creation has come, and then speculate about it. Upanishads are telling us, no, the right thing to do is that where is this pratak bhavam coming? Separate everything. Fully down to the one where it is coming from. And that source, that is that ekastam. Anupashyadi. Krishna is saying, Ekastam Anupashyadi. And you will know finally, he said, when you realize that this this variegatedness of the creation is supported, is actually situated in this oneness of the Ekastam, of the Brahman. Oneness of the Brahman. It is in the oneness of the Brahman that you are experiencing the variegatedness of the creation, which is due to the influence of the mind and as well as Maya. Influence of the mind as well as Maya. So, therefore, one who knows this, Krishna is saying here, for such a person who has touched this ekastam, such a person, even in vyavaharam, when he conducts vyavaharam in this world, even while he is experiencing namarupam, names and forms here, he is always situated in the bodham, in the consciousness, in the awareness. That means, instead of his attention going into the drishyam, it's always in the drik. In the seer. Instead of it going to the nature, it goes into the bodham, in the consciousness. And such a person is properly situated. That's what Krishna is saying there. That person is properly situated. And such a person, that bodham is called nirvikalpa bodham. Nirvikalpam. There is no vikalpam there anymore. We have so much vikalpam. That is why we get attracted to the world so much, because of the vikalpam inside. The more vikalpam, the more attracted to the world inside. The less vikalpam, it goes back into the bodham, consciousness, isn't it? So therefore, Krishna says, even while he is conducting his vyavaharam in this world, he is doing that in that Brahma Sambandhi. What call it as? Brahma Sambandhyade Tada. Krishna says, Yada Bhuta Pratak Bhavam Ekastam Anubhashyadi Tadevaja Vistaram Brahma Sambandhyade Tada. That is a symptom of a person who has got Brahma Sampatti. So, he acquires the Brahma Sambhati straight away. He says, Brahma Sambhati Tada. And this is a verse which requires a very, very deep analysis. I can only say a few things now. When we discuss this Dakshinamurti Stotram, this point comes in depth a lot more. But whenever, if you get time, whatever we have understood about this verse, if you put some thoughts into it, it will help a lot. And many people through this verse have realized the truth, this one verse. And if we are mature enough, this will benefit. This verse will benefit. That's the beauty of that verse. If we are mature enough, this verse will benefit. It is not words, it is just Krishna's statement about it. It's a commentary on this verse also, in the same way spoken, this particular verse. But of course, in the battlefield, Krishna has spoken to Arjuna. Arjuna got the message very well from Krishna. We are sitting here 5,000 years later and reading Krishna's Bhagavad Gita. And when we, such a topic with so much depth involved in each of these verses, what Krishna has spoken, till we get into our consciousness and in realization, it will all remain as a verse only. It is nothing more than that for us. But it is an opportunity actually, while studying Bhagavad Gita, if these verses, if you have got the thread properly, these last 3-4 verses, you will know what spiritual life is. You will understand what spiritual life is. Spiritual life is not all the show what we make in this world. This is spiritual life. That coming to understand the reality of the life, the truth behind this whole show, what is going on here. And this is one of the finest verses in the Bhagavad Gita to talking about that realized state.
Yadha bhuta pradak bhavam ekastam anupashyati tatha evaja vistaram brahma sampadyate tada.
He's already reached that state and there is no pradak bhavam anymore. It's always ekastam anupashyati. Krishna is saying like that. And you can see also Prabhupada's purport on that. After destruction of this material body, the spirit soul is one. Spirit soul is one. There is only then, otherwise it will become a contradiction with Bhagavad Gita. Because earlier, Krishna has spoken in the second chapter, you cannot cut the soul. Remember? In the second chapter. So if we cannot cut the soul, and if we keep saying souls are all broken, how can it be? One side he won't say you cannot cut, and the other side you can cut. Will he say like that? People get confused about these things, is it not? Soul cannot be cut. It cannot be cut by anything. It is ekastam anupashyati. That oneness of the soul can never be questioned about that. In our vyavaharam, we may use this different positions as far as the vyavaharam is concerned. You may say this. So it's only due to our own immaturity, lack of maturity, that we get problems, not due to the problem of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita has no problem. We have got problem. So because of our problems, we got worries. We start thinking, oh, this is correct, that is wrong, this is wrong. Nothing is wrong. Krishna is saying to us that in the broken conditions, pratak bhavam is there, different bodies are there, and you will see that you are identifying with different body, you got the jiva there. But when the jivatvam has gone, ego has gone, ahangaram has gone, like the example we spoke yesterday, remember, that when you ask where is this ahangaram coming from, it's like the guest in the marriage party. Doesn't belong to bride, nor belongs to bridegroom party. That is this, what we are now, ahangaram. It has come like that. And as long as that ahangaram is there, then everyone is different, everybody is different, and we have this difficulty, this ekastam anupashyati. So, we'll stop there. We'll continue after a few minutes.
Chedo darpanamarjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam shreya kaidava chandriga vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pratipadam purnamrita swadanam sarvapna savanam varam vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam namnamakari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nemida smaranena kala Yedadrisham Tavakripa Bhagavan Mamavi Durdevami Drishamiha Janinanuraga Tranarabishuni Jainam Tarorabi Sahishuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nadhanam Najanam Nasundarim
కవిదాంబా జగదీశ కామయే మమ జన్మని జన్మనీశ్వరి భవదాద్ భక్తి హై దుగిత్వై ఐ నందతనుజ కింకరం పతితామాం విషమే భవాంబుదో కృపయా తవ పాద పంకజ స్థిత దూళీ సదృశం విచిందయాం. వదనం గద్గదరుద్ధయా గిరా పులగైర్నిచితం కదా వపు తవన్నామగ్రహణే భవిష్యతి. యుగాయిదం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయిదం శూన్యాయిదం జగల్ సర్వం గోవింద విరహేణ మే. ఆశ్లిష్య వా పాదరదాం వినష్టు మాం అదర్శనాం మర్మహదాం కరోతు వా యథా తథా వా విదదాదులంబడో మత్ప్రాణనాథాస్తు నయేవ నాపరా. యథా భూత ప్రదగ్భావం ఏకస్థం అనుపశ్యతి తత ఏవ చ విస్తారం బ్రహ్మ సంబధ్యతే తథా. యాస్ వి డిస్కస్డ్ బిఫోర్ దట్ వెన్ బ్రహ్మ సంపత్తి హ్యాపన్స్, వెన్ దిస్ రియలైజేషన్ హ్యాపన్స్, కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ దేర్ దట్ హీ ఈస్ నాట్ ఫిక్స్డ్ ఎనీమోర్ ఇన్ ద బాడీ, ఈస్ నాట్ ఫిక్స్డ్ ఎనీమోర్ ఇన్ ద మైండ్, he is not fixed anymore in the intelligence, he is fixed in the bodham, in awareness. That is what it is called, nirvikalpa bodham. And that nirvikalpa bodham, we mentioned this before also, is different from the nirvikalpa yogam. Nirvikalpa yogam is something that will come, it can go. Once the nirvikalpa bodham comes, then he is completely situated in that. That means even in the vyavaharam state, even while transactions goes on in this world, he is not disturbed inside. No, vyavaharam also does not, cannot change his consciousness. In other words, there is no, he is always situated on the, in the platform of the truth. In the, so that is what Krishna calls it as brahma sampatti. Brahma sampatti ade tada, Krishna says. And it's the same thing what we call as brahma buddha stage. Brahma buddha prasannatma nashochadi nakankshadi sama sarveshu bhudeshu mad bhaktim labade param. So brahma sampatti, brahma bhuta stage, brahmam realization, it's all one and the same. But what Krishna is saying here is, in this verse, a person who has reached that state, how will he be his consciousness? That's what's more important. Names are not important, brahma sampatti or whatever you call it doesn't matter. But what is his consciousness at that stage? That's what he's saying here. That dida bhuta pradak bhavam ekastam anupashyati. Ekastam is more important for him, not the pradak bhavam. Pradak bhavam is conditioned state, jiva state. Ahangaram is there at that time in the pradak bhavam. Ekastam comes, ahangaram goes away, and the escape, and he is situated in the consciousness, bodham, nirvikalpa bodham. And as I said before, this verse, if you have time, sometime, if you deeply analyze this verse, you can get some benefit from that. Anubhuti, Satya Sakshatkaram, they call it. And there are many people who have spoken about this in various ways, in their own ways. They have expanded this verse and they have told that this is one verse that has affected them very much. Like the last three verses, it has affected them very much, and it is very much highly beneficial also in that sense. After saying that, we'll go into the next verse, 32. Anadityan nirgunatvan paramatmayam avyayam sharirastobi kaunteyam nakaroti nalipyate. అనాదిత్వాల్ నిర్గుణత్వాల్ పరమాత్మాయం అవ్యయం శరీరస్థోపి కౌంతేయం నకరోతి నలిప్యతే. అగైన్
all these verses coming from Upanishads, all of them, in with little changes, you will find the same verses appearing in the Upanishads. So naturally, Krishna has taken Upanishads as the authority of a realized person to present a realized person. You will see the same thing coming, na karoti na lipyade. Where else have you remember if this verse coming? Have you come across this verse anywhere else? No. In Ishopanishad, this verse is there. If you will see na karoti na lipyate. Na karoti na lipyate. That's a very important word in the spiritual terminology.
Ada anaditval nirgunatval paramatmayam avyayam sharirastobi kaunteya na karoti na lipyate.
That na karoti na lipyate is the most important thing there. Why? Karmam does not touch him anymore. Karmam cannot touch him anymore.
So you'll see, those with the vision of eternity can see that the soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of nature. Despite contact with the material body, O Arjuna, the soul neither does anything nor is entangled.
You will see the same thing in the Ishopanishad also. If you look, you will find there.
So let's look at that. This Paramatma, Krishna is saying, I am Paramatma, I am Avyayam. This Paramatma.
Why Krishna uses the word I am? You will see there. Anaditval, Nirgunatval, Paramatma, I am.
The I am is used there to tell us how close he is to us. How close he is with us, isn't it? So, normally when you say I am, generally when we use I am, word is used. If you are seeing someone right in front of you, you'll use the word I am. Paramatma is closer than that. Therefore, Krishna is saying I am. About I am. Paramatma, I am avyayam, he says. Paramatma, I am avyayam. when Krishna is saying this, Krishna is speaking in this way, he is thinking that we are already seeing Paramatma. It is that background he is speaking here. Then Krishna has already decided that you are seeing the Paramatma. It is in that context this verse is spoken, as though you are seeing Paramatma now.
That's it.
where do you see your Paramatma?
Paramatma is present inside as our pure consciousness. As pure consciousness inside. That, and we have come to understand that as I am identifying myself with myself as that consciousness, and that consciousness is non-different from Paramatma. Paramatmas, unless you study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam in a deeper level, you won't understand this connection between Jivatma and Paramatma. It will continue to remain then you will start arguing with people. They are two, they are not one, they can never be one. And all kinds of things will come out from that. That's due to lack of immaturity. Basic understanding is wrong. That's what it is. That when you study Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva mentions this. In the fourth kind of, in Rudragidam, Yogadesham, if you read, you will see there. Rudragidam, he mentions that Paramatma sitting inside as Jivatma is enjoying through the senses. And that is exactly what Krishna is also saying here, that this I am Paramatma. By the time when Krishna is saying this Paramatma, when he uses the word Paramatma, he is not valuing any more importance to Jivatma. Jivatma is not a talk for discussion. It's not a topic for discussion. What use is discussing about Jivatma? Jivatma is a very transitory state. Paramatma's another aspect is this Jivatma. Is it not? And we have somehow taken for granted that this Jivatma's position is, we want to remain as Jivatma forever, never want to lose this false ego from within. And that is why we are strongly opposing this thing called personality. Personality development, what they are using Bhagavad Gita for, is completely based on ignorance, understanding. Personality is false ego inside. And it is that ahankaram inside, or false ego, that you are trying to develop. And that is what their personality development is all about. Isn't it? Bhagavad Gita doesn't, the purpose of studying Bhagavad Gita is to finish up with this personality inside, ahangaram inside to go, ahangaram to go away. So, so that Paramatma, Krishna is saying here, that is anadithwal. Anadithwal, nirgunathwal, he says. So, therefore, he has no beginning, adi. Paramatma has no beginning, therefore he is anadithwal. And nirgunathwal. Nirgunathwal means these three modes of material nature cannot touch him. Who? Paramatma. Soul. Soul cannot be touched by the modes of nature. Krishna spoke about this in the Ekadasha Skandam. The modes of material nature is present in the buddhi, in the intelligence, or in the mind. It never can touch the soul. Is it not? If you look into, so if you study Bhagavatam in this way, then you will not have any contradiction. Otherwise, it will be full of doubts and full of crisis all the time. If you look into Bhagavatam in the 11th canto, look at this verse. Krishna begins with this to make it very clear to us. Three modes of material nature is not present in you. It is actually present where? Where is it present? It's present in the intelligence. He says there, if you look into that verse, 13th verse, Hamsagidam. Hamsagidam begins like this. Shri Bhagavanu Vacham Sattvam Rajasthamaidi Gunam Buddher Na Chalpana. It is in the buddhi, the three modes of material nature, not in the soul. Nothing to do with the soul. Sattve Anyanamo Hanyal Sattvam Sattvena Chaivahi. Though there also Krishna mentions Sattvam Rajasthamaidi Gunam. These three modes of material nature is Buddher. It is in the buddhi. In the buddhi, Na Alpana. And buddhi is Aparaprakriti. Buddhi is in the aparaprakriti. So, modes of nature cannot touch us. Nothing can touch the soul. Soul is always independent. Soul is always independent. And our problem is that soul is totally independent and other side, the material nature, prakriti, has supplied this body to us. One side, the soul, which is totally independent, soul has never come into contact with the matter because soul cannot become, can't keep any contact with matter. What has happened is, in this thing called a material body, a false identification has come to us. That's what has happened. If it is not in, still it is not in contact with the body. But due to the false identification with the body, we think that the soul has come into contact with the body. That is how the truth is. That is the example mentioned in the Vedantam as well as in the Bhikshu Gita. And so many places in the Bhagavatam you will see this point spoken. To make it very clear to us, at no point in time soul is ever touched by any modes of nature. Therefore, his nature is nirgunatvad. No modes of nature can touch him. Nirgunatvad. And plus what else? Anaditvad. It is beginningless. He has no beginning, he has no Satturajas Tamasaha cannot touch him. And what else is that? Avyayaha. Avyayaha means what? He has no destruction. He cannot be destroyed either. So Kshayam, that means he doesn't get diminished or anything. He knows no destruction happens to him. And in other words, that Satta Matram Nirvishesham Niriham, Devaki Devi says this. That Satta is always pure consciousness. And that bodham awareness is continuous. Even after leaving the body, that awareness doesn't go away. Because that is what we are. We are that awareness inside every living body, isn't it? So that is all Krishna has covered in those three words. Anaditwal, Nirgunatwal, Paramatma, I am Avyayam, he says. That is the soul. This is how we study the soul. Anaditwal, Nirgunatwal, Paramatma, I am Avyayam. Everything finished with that. Whatever Yaksha wants to say about the soul, he has spoken there. He says, Anaditwal, he has no beginning. This is about us, Krishna is talking about. And Krishna is always in that state. Anaditwal, Nirgunatwal. That is why, as I said, whether Mahabharata war happened, killing Kamsa, dancing with the gopis, nothing has changed anything inside. No movement inside. And people are saying that Krishna has danced with the gopis at a great time. But what do they understand? What Krishna has spoken? Anaditval, Nirgunatval, Paramalpa, I am Avyayam. That at no point there is absolutely no influence of time, space, karmam, none of them. Dravyam, kalam, karmam, nothing can touch inside. That is that state of consciousness Krishna is saying here. So Krishna says here that sattva means that awareness is continuous. That means Krishna is always conscious who he is. We are not conscious who we are we? We are not conscious, first of all. Prabhupada used to say, first you become conscious and then you become Krishna conscious, he said. Because we are not conscious even. If somebody calls us by name and says, yes, I am that, I'll say like that. Otherwise, what's our consciousness? A sort of a non-existent state. It is moving in this world, it's playing doing a lot of things. Apart from that, what's our consciousness? Where is the awareness in us? But here, Krishna's point is that anaditval, nirgunatval, paramatma. Paramatma's nature is like this, anaditval, nirgunatval. I am, Krishna is expecting that we have come to that state now. That's why saying it's avyayam. In other words, Krishna says here, if you are in that body, if you have come to this state of consciousness, what we are experiencing now, this state is in the body, is in the body. And Krishna is saying here, once you have reached this state, and if you are experiencing that inside this body, na karoti na lipyate. That is the beauty of that. Na karoti na lipyate. At the moment, all you can do is to sit and imagine that state. You have to start like that somewhere. Start imagining that state and that Krishna, what he is talking about, what Krishna is talking about. He is saying here that paramatmayam avyayam sharirastobi kaundeya na karoti na lipyate. Even if you are inside the body, na karoti na lipyate. He is not doing anything and he is not entangled with anything. Na karoti na lipyate. Lipyate means actually that you are not sticking to anything. That's the right meaning. Lipyate means to stick to something is lipyate. If you don't stick to anything, then you won't have any problem. Only due to this sticking, all the problem has come. Isn't it? Krishna never stuck to anything, did he? He didn't stick to the gopis. He didn't stick to his own wives, 16,108 wives. He didn't stick to them. He didn't stick to his children either. He didn't stick to his grandchildren. Did he stick to anybody? He didn't stick to his devotees either. Even to Uddhava, one who spent 115 years with him, he told Uddhava, you can go now to Badrinath, go and sit there now for some time, then you can come to me. That is that. Na karoti, na lipyate. Krishna is always in that state. Krishna says, I have not done anything here. In fact, Krishna is a person who has done everything here. 125 years full of activity, is it not? But na karoti. Why? Na lipyate. It's not sticking to anything. That sticking brings everything. So he says here, na karoti na lipyate. So Krishna is saying, even though he is in the body, even though body is doing various things, karmana says here that anaditval sharirastobi kaunteya na karoti na lipyate. Upanishad says, karmana no vartade no kariyan. He says. So Upanishad puts it like this, but little in a different way. He says here, by executing karmam, a jnani does not get in any way expands his life. Or by executing karmam, he does not get destroyed in any way. Because karmam has that effect, isn't it? In what sense? When you execute karmam, karma vasana comes. And karma vasana means you are extending your material life. If you don't execute karmam, no karma vasana is created. But sometimes some karmam can destroy your karma vasana, certain karmam. So either increasing or decreasing doesn't matter with respect to karmam. With respect to karmam. That is why karmam, he says here, no karmana no vartade no kariyan. Upanishad says, no kariyan no vartade. Therefore, he says, karmam does not touch him. No karmam will touch him. So, if you look into Ishopanishad, this verse, again what we mentioned before,
is it number 2? Yeah. Kurvaneveha karmani, yeah, second verse. Jijishwe chadam sama evam trai nanya desti na karma lipyade nare.
Whatever Krishna has spoken here,
it's the same thing. Then, karmam will not have any impact on that person. Kurvan eveha karmani jijivishek chatam sama evam. There in Ishopanishad, the interesting thing is he says, let him do karma for thousands of years in that way, it will not have any effect on him. Why? Because na lipyade is not sticking to karma. That is important. Doing karma is not a wrong thing. But when you stick to karmam is the problem. That means I am the doer, enjoyer. If that comes, karmam causes problem. So that is what it is. Kurvan neveha karmani jijivishek shatam samaha evam tvayi nanyade dosti na karma lipyade nare. One may aspire to live for hundreds of years if he continuously goes on working in that way. For that sort of work will not bind him to the law of karma. There is no alternative to this way for man. There is no alternative. That means karma means there will be karma bhalam. Result will be there. And karma means, law of karma means that it will bind us. It will bind us. It's not something you can pass it on to somebody. You know, some people are thinking like that. They can pass it on. Everything will be taken care of by the spiritual master and you don't have anything to worry after that. I don't know where all these ideas are coming from. Upanishads don't accept it. Bhagavatam doesn't accept it. Bhagavad Gita doesn't accept it. If somebody else is, I don't know who makes this law. But the thing is, Krishna clearly says here, that sort of work will not bind him to the law of karma, provided it is done in this way. But kurvan neveha karmani jijushai chadam samaha evam troyi na anyade dosti na karma lipyade nare. And that's exactly what Krishna is saying here also. That anaditval nirgunatval paramatma ayam avyayam sharirastobi kaundeya na karoti na lipyade na karoti na lipyade. Now here, so here karmam will not touch him. Karmam will not touch him. And in other, just like the leaf in the lotus leaf in the water, water is there but water cannot touch the leaf in that way. So let's go into the next verse.
Yatha sarvagadam saukshmyad
akasham
no palipyate sarvatra vavastito dehe
തഥാത്മാനോപലിപ്യത്തെ യഥാ സർവഗതം സൗക്ഷ്മ്യാ ആകാശം നോപലിപ്യത്തെ സർവത്രാവസ്ഥിതോ ദേഹേ തഥാത്മാനോപലിപ്യത്തെ യഥാ സർവഗതം സൗക്ഷ്മ്യാ ആകാശം നോപലിപ്യത്തെ സർവത്രാവസ്ഥിതോ ദേഹേ തഥാത്മാ നോപലിപ്യത്തെ. ദ സ്കൈ ഡ്യൂ ടു ഇറ്റ്സ് സട്ടിൽ നേച്ചർ ഡസ് നോട്ട് മിക്സ് വിത്ത് എനിത്തിങ് ഓൾദോ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഓൾ പ്രൊവൈഡിംഗ്. സിമിലർലി ദ സോൾ സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് ഇൻ ബ്രഹ്മൻ വിഷൻ ഡസ് നോട്ട് മിക്സ് വിത്ത് ദ ബോഡി ദോ സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് ബോഡി. അഗെയിൻ ടു റിപ്പീറ്റഡ്ലി സെയിങ് സോൾ ഹാസ് നോ കണക്ഷൻ വിത്ത് ദി ബോഡി. സോൾ ഹാസ് നോ കണക്ഷൻ വിത്ത് ദ ബോഡി. Initially, when we start thinking first time, we always think, oh, this is the ground, then I am the body, and in the body there is a mind, inside that there is a soul, and due to the presence of the soul, soul is very much conscious of everything, what's going on in the body. But in reality, the soul has no contact with the body. Soul has no contact with the body. It says here, similarly the soul situated in Brahma, but only when he is in the Brahman realized state, is does not mix with the body though situated in that body. Says tathalpa nopalipya sarvatra avasthito dehe, his presence is recognized everywhere, but tathalpa nopalipyate, tathalpa nopalipyate. Let's understand this. Sky, agasham, isn't it? He is present in all the material elements. You know that, don't you? Five material elements we have: earth, water, air, ether and fire. So ether is present in all the five. When become more gross, from there came fire. When it became grosser, it became air. Grosser, it became water. And in the most gross form, it became the earth. Is it not? So that is the formation of the material elements. Isn't it? Eh? Yeah. What did I say? Ah, okay. So air from the sun, sorry. So sky, it's... what do they call it? There's a word for that. There's a word. Akasham. Akasham's, it is in the Kapilopadesha mentions that. Its subtle form, its subtle form is the sound. Akasham's subtle form is sound. And from the sound comes the air. And air's subtle form is? No. Shabdam, sparsham, sparsham, touch. Touch, touch. So the five material elements, I'm just trying to remember that word. The five gross material elements and its sushmatvam, sushma bhava, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham, that is its subtle form. And the gross form is earth, water, air, ether, fire. So if you look at that way, you will see, because it's all come started with the sky, sky is present in everything else. You see? Sky is present in all other elements as well. So, all material elements, sky is present. Even though sky is present in all five material elements, it does not stick to anything. It does not stick to anything. In fact, all five material elements is in the sky, in the ether. In the ether. But none of the material elements, sky has any contact. Sky has any contact. Because in sky, nothing can stay. In reality, nothing can stay in the sky. We have discussed that yesterday also. That sky's existence is like that. We say khatakasham, madhakasham. Like in the Bhagavatam, that's also there. It's in the pot and the sky inside the pot, sky outside the pot. Sky inside the pot. In everywhere sky is present, pot is also present in the sky. But when the pot breaks up, what is there? Sky.
When the pot breaks up, only sky is there, isn't it? So, similarly, inside the body, Krishna is present, Atma is present there. Sarva vastido deha. He says that. Look at the third line. Sarvatra, sarvatra avastido dehe. He is present all over the body. He is present all over the body. Because wherever you touch me in the body, I say, oh, you touch me. In whichever part of the body, if you touch me, I'll say, oh, you touch me. He'll say. Even if it is like that, Krishna is saying, na lipyade. Na lipyade. Na lipyade means what? That you have not touched me. Although you have touched me, you have not touched me. Na lipyade. Why? Because soul is saying that soul has nothing to do with me. But I am saying his presence is there, I am experiencing in the through sparsham, touch. I am experiencing that. But through body, you are not touching me. Because even if you cut my body, even if you separate my limbs from my body, that vastu inside, he is not affected. That is the proof. If you say that he is present everywhere in the body, then if I cut my leg somewhere and take it away, that much consciousness I have to lose, isn't it? But my consciousness wise, I am not losing anything. I am still saying, I am, I am, I am. Remember that? Like when a person, he got injured in the battlefield and they had to amputate his leg. And he went to sleep and the phone rang. He got up and went to take the phone. Only then he realized that his leg has been taken away, amputated, and he fell down, hurt himself. What does that indicate? It's indicating to us that in his consciousness, he hasn't lost the body yet. Part of it has gone. That's not registered there yet. And that will remain like that for a long time to come. And then later on, you have to keep on injecting this understanding that I lost my leg, I lost my leg, I lost my leg. And finally, it becomes a reality for him that his leg is gone. Initially, it is like that. That is to show to us that consciousness, in spite of what happens to the body, there is no impact on the consciousness. Impact on the consciousness. So, therefore, you know, among the Sufis, Sufi people, among them, somebody put one Sufi mystic person on a trident. So, because he said, an owl huck, that is their statement equivalent to this, isn't it? Aham Brahmasmi like. That in their Urdu language, it is an owl huck. So, for saying that, all others got upset with him. All others got upset with him. So, when they put him on the trident and the blood started flowing from there, he was still shouting the same thing, an owl hug. He was saying that. So, as far as he is concerned, you are hitting this body, not me. That he was very clear in his, because of his realization. And you cannot touch me and you cannot see me, he said. He said to them, that is what Krishna is saying here. Sarva avastido dehe. He is present everywhere in the body, but you can't see him. You can't do anything with him, but he is present everywhere. So, similarly, even though he is present all over the body, that he is like this, Atma is like that. That nirmalam, nirvikalpam, nirakaram, antarbahir shunyam, ananvayam, advayam, swayam, nisima, nispandana, nirvikaram. There is a long description about that in the Vega Chudamani, about the Atma, Atma's nature. Atma's nature is nirmalam, nirvikalpam, antarbahishunyam, ananyayam, advayam, swayam, nisima, nispandana, nirvikaram, bodham, parabrahma kimasti bodhyam. So, what else is to know about the soul? Akashavad nirmala nirvikalpam. Like the sky, it's so pure. And nirvikalpam, when clouds are the vigalpam. Like we see the clouds in the sky, that means we say the sky is filled with the clouds. Similarly, when we have thought waves coming, vikalpam comes, that is the clouds in the bodham, in the consciousness. And there is no, sky has no limit, isn't it? Space has no limit. Space has no limit. Where will you say, where does the space ends? So, therefore, is unlimited. And it will not allow something separate from that. This is another nature of the consciousness. Consciousness doesn't allow another thing to exist outside the consciousness. It is because of that, sometimes when two people are together, after a while they want to move away from each other. Even between the mother and the child, this happens. What is the reason? Because inside, the nature of the consciousness is that it doesn't tolerate a separate one existing separately from him. In Vyavaharam, we have to tolerate, we have no choice. So therefore we are doing that. But in reality, Atma does not accept another one existing separately from Atma. That is due to the sangalpam of the mind, that we exist separately, separate identification with the body. Therefore, nirmalam nirvikalpam, that is why nisimam. Nisimam means it has no boundary. There is no boundary. You can't put a boundary to the soul. Soul finishes here, another soul starts from here. No, only soul exists. Nothing else exists in the creation. So, because of that, it will not allow the existence of something else separately from here. And therefore, there is no two things existing. Therefore, no two things existing. And that Brahman is present within everyone as awareness. As awareness. And sarvam sarvavastito dehe tatha almana upalipyate. So sarvavastito dehe tatha alma upalipyate. In those two lines, Krishna has spoken about the nature of Brahman. Nature of Brahman is like this, that it cannot tolerate the existence of something else separately from that. If somebody makes a claim separately, then it will not accept it. It has very nature is like that. Only it exists, nothing else exists. Only Brahman exists, nothing else exists. All the variations what we see in the creation is due to the influence of the mind. Influence of the mind. Mind is what is creating all these things. Mind, and of course in conjunction with the modes of nature, it creates, projects something different to us. That's why when you study the Shramoti Stotram, very clearly all these things are explained there. How Vijrumbhanam happens, the mind wakes up first. You can see this when you go into deep sleep state. What's happening there? Where is the world? Where is the mind? Where is all this creation? Where is all this separation between one person to another? Where is the difference? Nothing there in the deep sleep, isn't it? Only when you came up in the, wake up in the morning, the mind starts making the boundaries, making the identities, making the designations, making all sorts of identification, is it not? So what does it prove? It's showing to us every day in the night, when you go into deep sleep, all these things, what Krishna is saying here, in practical reality, we are experiencing it in the deep sleep. Is it not? What Krishna has spoken, all these things, you are experiencing in the deep sleep, and still, what do we say when we wake up? Oh, I've fallen into tamogunam, we'll say. Actually, you are not in tamogunam. You are in the state of realization, you are. Except that you could not explain it properly because you couldn't participate in that properly. You didn't know. Only experience you had, nothing else. And that is why this difficulty comes, that when Krishna says something, you must always keep these three states of existence behind. Then this chapter makes a lot of sense. It's the background of this chapter. Which one? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. The three states of existence. That's why Krishna says, Yatha sarvagadam saukshmyad akasham nopalipyate sarvatra avasthito dehe tathalma nopalipyate. Akasham nopalipyate. Why? Because only akasham exists, nothing else. Space only exists, nothing else exists. Is it not? And space, you cannot put a limit. You are stuck there.
That is why I'm saying science has a problem. Science is stuck with this. They don't know what to say now. Because when it comes to space, they don't know how to explain it further. Where do you put the limit? Space. Space is a problem there, isn't it? So these two things, space and time, has completely put the scientists in a difficult situation. They are not able to explain that, and therefore all their theories about creation is all speculation. One man thinks one way, another man thinks another way. You can't explain anymore, because without time and space, how will you explain the creation? Is it not? And we are captivated by the creation. But Krishna is saying, don't worry about the creation too much. Try to understand these two factors, time and space. If time and space is understood, then you can explain creation. But till now, time and space has not been explained. Vedantam has an answer, which we will see when we discuss Bhikshugita. It comes there in depth. It's spoken there. So, yadha sarvagadam saukshmyad akasham nopalipyade. Sky cannot touch that. It cannot touch that. Because akasham, space, is here akasham means space. Space has no unlimited that is. Similarly, exactly like that, Alma. Soul is exactly like that. What else? Sarvatra avastito dehe tadhalma nopalipyade. Sarvatra avastito dehe is present throughout the body, but it is not nalipyade. It doesn't stick to anything. It's present all over, but doesn't stick to anything. That is the nature of the soul. So this important point, Krishna has spoken about it. And he says there, Brahmam, Brahmam, Paramatma, one and the same thing. We call it the different names. So Brahmam's nature is like that. Sarvatra avastito dehe tadha almana upalipyade. Tadha almana upalipyade, says Krishna says there. So when you look at that verse, samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram, not that one, samam pashyanki sarvatra samavastitam ishwaram nahinasti alpan alpanam tadoyadi parangadim. So after that, yadha sarvagadam saushmyad akasham nopalipyate sarvatra avastito dehe tadhalpa nopalipyate yadha sarvagadam vyapi api sat saushmyad sushma bhavad akasham kham na upalipyade na sambadyade sarvatra avastito dehe tadha alma na upalipyade. Krishna is saying that yatha sarvagadam vyapi, that means akasham or space is present everywhere. And why is it that it does not lipyade, it does not stick to anything? Why akasham does not stick to anything? That Krishna explains there in that verse. What is that? Saushmyad. That's the reason. Because of its subtlety. That is the subtlety of the sky. The subtlety of the sky is that it doesn't stick to anything. Therefore he's saying, yadha sarvagadam saushmyad akasham novalipyade. Because of this sushmatvam. Sushmatvam means the subtlety of the nature of the subtle nature of akasham or sky, it doesn't stick to anything. He says, similarly, alma also, it is subtle. Therefore, sarvatra avastito dehe tada alma novalipyade. Similarly, he says here that alma is present in every body. In every body, it is present. In the birds, bees, all different species, everywhere. And including in the dead matter also, he is present. But doesn't stick to anything. Doesn't stick to anything. Like the sky. So Krishna has taken the most, the closest example to show the nature of the soul, which is the sky, akasha, space. Space is the closest one. That is why in Vedantam, you will notice in the Bhagavatam also, that this ghatakasham, madhakasham, that upama, that comparison is given a lot of importance. Couple of places it comes. Even when Parikshit Maharaj finally left the body, that is what he had to say. Isn't it? His reply to Shukha Brahmarshi was like that. That Madhagasham has broken and there is only Khadagasham finally left. There is no Khadagasham, Madhagasham. There is only Agasham. Space only remains. Space only remains. In other words, in the final analysis, you can see that what we call as creation, creation is only due to the presence of the senses. This creation problem has come.
If you had no senses and mind, there is no problem with the creation. And we are worrying about the creation so much, is it not? We are thinking what all exists in this creation, how many planets are there, where can we colonize, where can we go and start another business somewhere else. All this mind is working in this direction. And now they are arranging trips also to other places, isn't it, other planets. So this, all this is why. Why is all this happening? This is only because we have a gross body and the senses. The senses' mind has put us into this situation. Once that is gone, what exists is only Atma. There is nothing else. And therefore, these verses are opening up our eyes to the spiritual sky. That's what it is. So Krishna is saying here, Yatha Sarvagadam, all due to... So spiritual life is this Sushmatvam, Saushmyad, he says. So when there is more, that is why realized souls and also very highly advanced spiritual path, they can see things in a very sushma level, in a very, very subtle level. In a very subtle level they see things, therefore they are not disturbed about anything. Because when they see the subtlety, the gross activities do not bother them. It's all happening in a, on a gross platform, other things. Whereas we think that we have to sort out the world, isn't it? Because there is, that is due to our gross nature. Yatha sarvagadam saushmyad agasham nobalipyade sarvatra avasthito dehe tathalma nobalipyade. After saying that, the next verse, Krishna is saying, next one, 34. Yatha prakashayadi eka krishnam lokam imam ravim kshetram kshetri tatha krishnam prakashayati bharatam yatha prakashayati eka krishnam lokam imam ravim kshetram kshetri tatha krishnam prakashayati bharatam. So Krishna is more or less concluding this chapter saying like this. He said, O son of Bharata, as the sun alone illuminates all this universe, so does the living entity, one within the body, illuminate the entire body by consciousness. Illuminate the entire body by consciousness. Krishna is saying, Yatha prakashayatyekam krishnam lokam imam ravi kshetram kshetri tada krishnam prakashayadi bharata prakashayadi. Let's understand. So, sun is only one, Ravi, isn't it? One sun. Krishna means complete. So, the whole complete creation, one sun is illuminating. One sun is illuminating everything. You can say the whole solar system. One sun is illuminating. And one sun is capable of doing that. Similarly, this whole kshetram is, Krishna says, there is a kshetri inside, or kshetrajnan inside, who is present in the hridayasthanam, in the heart. Kshetrajna's place is like that. Situated there, he is illuminating the whole kshetram, means the body, material body. Kshetram, kshetri, tada krishnam. And that means this kshetri inside, he is able to illuminate the whole kshetram. So what do we have to do? So in order to see the sun, it is not good enough just to see the light, sunlight only, but you have to see the sun, isn't it? So similarly, this consciousness, which is present all over the body, it is not good enough to say that I am conscious. That's not good enough. So instead, we have to find out where it's coming from. That center. Remember? Hrit. Krishna calls that word as Hrit. Isn't it? Hrit sthanam. Sarvasya chaham hridi sanyavishto. That Hrit. We have to find that place. And that is self-realization. It is no good saying, seeing the sunlight and saying, yes, I have seen the sun. No, you have not seen the sun, you have seen the sunlight. Similarly, in the body, if somebody touches and I'm conscious of that, so soul is present in the body, because most of the people will argue in that way. I'm aware that the soul is present in the body, because when I'm touching, you feel the touch, sense of touch, isn't it? That's not good enough. Consciousness is present there. That's why feeling the sense of touch, you say. Shastram, Krishna is saying that is not good enough. Instead, that where is this coming from? That center point, that just like you see the sun, then you can say that you are seeing the sun. Equally, at the moment what is happening is, I have identified as Jivalma, isn't it? And I mistakenly thought that I am that Jivalma. And I am experiencing the body in that way, as Jivalma. But when you study Bhagavad Gita, and this understanding changes, that it is Krishna who is experiencing everything through this body, when that realization comes, you will start realizing, I am not Jivalma anymore. That is the point, you lose that connection as Jivalma, and you come to the understanding of the connection as Paramatma. You see, this Paramatma-Jivalma relationship, that in a bhakti state, you will talk about it as separately. That is for this one reason only, that Paramatma, in order to worship, it is necessary to be thinking like that. But with that bhakti, when purification happens in a person, he starts seeing that this Jivalma, whom I was identifying all these time years as Jivalma, at some point in time, Jivalma, when that purification has happened, he started realizing that in all qualities, it's no different than the Paramatma's position, Paramatma. That Bodham, that is the Bodham, that is whose duty is that? Acharya's duty. Acharya's due to association with a realized soul. He makes you realize that. What they call in Shastram as Tattvamasi. That Tattvam is that's what you are, what you are talking about. But initially, it will be like this, that we are Jivalma. In the beginning, everyone is in the Jivalma state. And that will continue to exist like that for a long, long time to come. But when it comes to this point, what Krishna is saying here, that Yatha prakashayatyekam, prakashayatyeka krishnam lokam imam ravi, kshetram kshetri tadha krishnam prakashayati bharata. That he realizes that the presence of Krishna inside as Paramatma, he is illuminating and I am not different from him. After saying that, the last verse. And this verse is a very confidential verse, this last verse. Let's look at that. Kshetram kshetrajnayor evam andaram jnana chakshusha bhuta prakriti moksham cha ye vidur yanti te param kshetra kshetrajnayor evam andaram jnana chakshusha Buddha Prakriti Moksham Cham Yevidur Yanti Te Param. One who knowingly sees this difference between the body and the owner of the body and can understand the process of liberation from this bondage also attains the supreme goal. This verse is a little difficult, because if you have, Krishna is saying, that if you have realized this chapter, put it that way, or if you have properly, I wouldn't say understood, if it has properly hit you, if it has stuck in your awareness, if it has gone in there, this difference between Kshetram and Kshetrajnan, which we have talked so many months now, you have to see it. How should you see it? Krishna answers there. How? Jnana Chakshusha, he says. Eyes of knowledge. Through the eyes of knowledge, Krishna says. Through the eyes of knowledge, Krishna says. That means this jnana chakshusa, we have so many, this is mamsa chakshusa, isn't it? These two are the mamsa chakshusa. This is not jnana chakshusa. This is mamsa chakshusa, made of flesh, eyes. Then there is shastra chakshusa. Shastra chakshusa comes through jnana chakshusa. Chakshusa means eyes. So there is different ways of seeing things. When you go into dream state, you are seeing things. How you are seeing? You are still seeing, isn't it? Very clear, like you are seeing now. Everything you are seeing in the dream. But the eyes are closed. So that shows the limitation of this eye. Isn't it? Mamsa chakshusa is limited. So in the dream state, there is called swapna chakshusa. Similarly, when it comes into your realization, it is called jnana chakshusa. That's the difference. If it has actually realized it, then it is jnana chakshusa. If you keep on talking about it, it's all verbal. It all remains verbal, isn't it? But all this knowledge in this chapter, Krishna is saying here, that through the jnana chakshusa, if he is seeing it, not by external, this mamsa chakshusa, or by intelligence, or by the mind, it's no good. It's no good. Then if you see it like that, then you will get the result of the second part of that verse. That's what Krishna is saying there. What is the second part? It says, Bhuta prakriti moksham cha evidur yanti te param. This will happen. If you started seeing through, that is why this verse is important. When all this chapter, these 35 verses, 34 verses, if this has affected you, and if you have discussed, thought about it, reflected on that again, again and again, and you have got that spirit of that verses, what Krishna has spoken all over in all these verses, Krishna is saying, your jnana chakshusa will open. That's when jnana chakshusa will open. And when the jnana chakshusa open, what will happen, Krishna is saying here, that ye vidur yanti de param. He's already reached the destination. Business is over. Realized self. That's it. Self is realized. Attains to the supreme goal. That's what it is. That's all Krishna can say about it, isn't it? He has left it to us to take it whatever extent seriously we want to take it. So practically what he says is with these eyes or the mind or the intelligence, if you speak these things, it will not bring the result. You will not get the result. If you speak with your mind, if you speak with your brain, intelligence, or if you speak with your, based on your, these eyes. In other words, these eyes, the mind and the intelligence has no role in spiritual life. Has no role in spiritual life. Mind is one of our greatest friend and enemy, Krishna says in the 6th chapter. But we have to understand the mind properly for that. That we will see when we come to Bhagavatam later. Because that's the right place to talk about the mind. In the Ekadasha Skandam, when Krishna talks about that. But living beside that, what we have to realize is that spiritual life is all to do with consciousness. Nothing to do with this business of the body, mind and intelligence. And there are statements in the bhakti process also. We will talk like this, that purification of the senses, mind, everything. Whatever happens, is that Buddha Prakriti Mokshanja. Krishna says like that, isn't it? Buddha Prakriti Mokshanja. This Buddha Prakriti Moksham is the greatest secret. Is the greatest secret. Rahasyam means not that it should not be spoken. Not in that sense, Rahasyam. Remember in the 9th chapter also, Krishna says Rahasyam, Rahasyam, and he says everything. He says it's most confidential and he keeps saying everything. But Krishna knows very well why he said it is confidential. Because he knows till you realize it, it is not going to do anything good for you. Till you realize it. In other words, that 9th chapter which we discussed, Rajavidya Rajaguhyam, he calls it as most confidential knowledge and he is openly declaring this. And we are printing so much of these books and giving to the whole world. And he says it's the most confidential thing. So what does that mean? It means this. It is confidential because till you realize it, it is a mystery, unknown to us. Whatever you may say about that, it remains as a mystery because in your experience it's not there. So it's a mystery. And that's why it is confidential. In the same way, if I talk about this Kshetra Kshetrajna Yogam, if you talk about it, you won't understand it. You won't understand. It will remain as a mystery still, like for us now. Still remains as a mystery, isn't it? The whole chapter is still a mystery. It's forgotten. Tomorrow it will be forgotten. We move on to the next chapter. It's forgotten there. It's over. We have finished all that. Now, so that is why Krishna is saying here that Prakriti, Bhuta Prakriti Mokshanja. Bhutam and Prakriti are the two things which are binding us now. Panchabhutam, five material elements, and material nature Prakriti. This is what is holding us now, like this, isn't it? In this state of consciousness. Unable to know what we are. That's our problem. So that is why you get released from those two. From the five material elements and from the material nature. You get released. Krishna is saying here. That is why that verse is important. Krishna is saying the result of studying this chapter and realizing this chapter, Kshetra Kshetrajnayor Evam Andaram Jnana Chakshusha Bhuta Prakriti Mokshancha Yevidur Yanti De Param. Once you are released from this bondage of the material elements, once you are released from the bondage of the material nature, you are off, you are finished, clear. Then the way is clear, isn't it? Total release. So, just like when a person comes out of the dream, what happens? He has forgotten about the dream, isn't it? He has forgotten about the dream. And as soon as this Kshetra Kshetrajna Jnanam comes in, Krishna says here that these five material elements and this material nature will disappear from us. Will disappear from us. That is why for a jnani or a realized soul, we see their body. They are not feeling that they are in the body anymore. That's finished for them. Example in the Bhagavatam, Jadabharata, best example, Dattatreya Maharshi, all of them never identified with the body. They have left the body long ago. Long ago they left the body. But due to prarabdham, it will still play some games in this world. That will drop off on its own way and its own time, it will go. And once that's gone, you are gone. Bhuta Prakriti Mokshancha. It's another way of saying liberation. Bhuta Prakriti Mokshancha. Krishna saying, Ye Vidur Yandide Param. Ye Vidur Yandide Param. In order to know this, Krishna saying here that anubhuti, Brahma anubhuti or Brahmam realization, if that has to happen, this Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogam, this chapter, one has to see it through the eyes of knowledge. Through the eyes of knowledge. Jnana Chakshusha. Krishna is very specific about that. He didn't say anything else. Jnana Chakshusha means Bodha Chakshusha, Bodham. Through the awareness, one has to experience. And that means that Ahamasmi, that awareness inside all of us. And therefore, you can see this, the same principle is taken and expanded by the other great personalities. The same principle they have expanded. Just like there is sunlight, we are seeing objects. But sunlight alone is not sufficient, isn't it? We need the eyes to see. Sunlight is there, eyes are there. But if sunlight and eyes are there, can we see? We can't see still. Behind the eyes, the mind is there. If the mind is not there, you cannot see things. Can the mind, if the mind, eyes and the sunlight is there, can you see? No. You still can't see. Behind that, who gives the light to the mind, that bodham, awareness has to be there. A dead person who has got eyes, he can't see anything. Whether he has mind or not, we don't know. Mind may be or may not be there. Mind depends on the presence of this awareness inside. Bodham. That is why, in order that eyes to open, which one? Jnana Chakshusha. If that is to open, one requires the mercy of the spiritual master. That is his job, in other words. The teacher. Teacher's job is that. And the mercy of the Acharya Parampara. The Guru Parampara
and the mercy of the great personalities is required. So normally in the other Siddhantam also, Jiva has got three kinds of realization, which is realization of the self, Atma Sakshalkaram, realization of Ishvara Sakshalkaram as Krishna, and third one, which is mentioned as Kripa Sakshalkaram, which is Krishna's grace or mercy. In Vedantam, these three things don't exist. But these three things will come into experience. For example, Atma Sakshalkara means to see that vastu inside, what we are, that vastu inside. And seeing that vastu, what is inside, is Atma. And then seeing that Atma as present in everything outside is Ishvara Sakshalkara. Seeing Atma inside as a self is Atma Sakshalkara. Seeing Atma present in the creation everywhere, in everyone, is Ishvara Sakshalkara. Ishvara Sakshalkaram. And even after that, it is not complete. Even after that, it's not complete. Even though all this has happened, if the false ego inside may still be lingering on to some degree, when that false ego also gets completely destroyed, then that is Kripa Sakshalkaram. That is grace. That is Krishna's grace. So these three different states of realization. First thing, realizing the self, who I am. That means separation from the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything gone. And you have come to understand that you are not this body and the self, you are self, the soul. After that, next step is, this will happen after, this is Atma Sakshalkaram. After this, you are realizing this, that vastu whom I am aware of now as I am, is the same vastu present in everyone else. That is Ishvara Sakshalkaram. And after those two states, the last one is that false ego may still be lingering on in the form of jivalma, ahanda inside, ahangaram inside. When that also completely drained out inside, totally, then it is Kripa Sakshalkaram, Krishna's grace. So it is in that grace that we are moving in spiritual life. We are moving in the spiritual life, and due to grace, that happens by Krishna's grace. Kripa. Kripa is the reason behind it. And therefore, it was at that time that bhakti, what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that develops. When that Kripa starts coming. When is that Kripa coming? Krishna says there, isn't it? That Brahma Buddha Prasannatma Nashochari Nakamshari Sama Sarveshu Bhudeshu Mad Bhaktim Labhade Param. That Parabhakti comes to him at that time. So, the whole spiritual life is dependent on this grace. Kripa, Krishna's Kripa. Sadhana begins with this Kripa, in this Kripa. And it is that Kripa, sadhana continues in life. And it is finally due to Krishna's Kripa or grace, we get Krishna. We get Krishna. So due to Krishna's grace, we pay our obeisances to Krishna. Due to Krishna's grace, we become qualified for Krishna's grace. We get qualified for Krishna's grace by Krishna's grace only. So only by Krishna's grace, that means Jivalma has nothing to do. In reality, Jivalma has nothing to do. Karaga yeshasa brahma sambatti nobalabhyade. Vedanti says like this, that karaga yeshas parsham is not there in the Brahman. In other words, in course of time, in the process of sadhana, he becomes non-existent himself. According to the degree, this ego gets wiped out from inside. So we have more or less completed this chapter, this Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogam. And that whoever has taken seriously this chapter and whoever has listened to this, that something must have gone inside, I'm sure. Some seed must have planted inside about the beauty of this chapter, isn't it? This 13th chapter. Whether you do sadhana or you don't do sadhana, whether you believe it or not, and that will sprout inside because it has got that potency. These verses have got that, unless we are so dull. That's all I can say. Unless we are so dull that
this chapter may not have any impact. Krishna is saying that this chapter, if you have properly heard, if you have properly scrutinized, listened and analyzed within yourself, it must have something, some impact inside. Some impact must, according to the degree of the maturity inside. Pakvata, that is the qualification behind that. When things are favorable, when things are very favorable, the result also will be instantaneous. That's the beauty of this chapter. That's why when they analyze this chapter, they take enough time to study this chapter. To study this chapter. In Vedantam, it is like that. Mainly they study the 10 Upanishads, then the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutram. Plus all the Prakarana Grantham is all centered around this chapter to large extent, Viveka Chudamani and other books. So when you are studying those books, you will notice that this chapter is appearing again and again everywhere, in various ways. When I say this chapter, not exactly the verses, but the message of this chapter. So, when, if ever, in anyone's life, if an opportunity comes like that, to study other Prakarana Grantham, also Bhagavadam, Ekadasha Skandam, and Brahma Sutram, Upanishads and everything, if a day comes, you become serious about studying those literature, at that time you will see that this thing is sprouting from inside, what you have heard about this chapter. Because the seed is what this says. This is the seed of that knowledge of the self, which is already in us. Most of us now, if I ask, what have we understood from this chapter? I don't know what answer I will get from that. How much it has gone in, to what extent it has sprouted, or what extent it has impacted, I don't know, because many of you are not listening continuously. Sometimes you are missing today's class and you are not listening yesterday's class later. But unfortunately, in order to have that complete effect to happen, that you have to put all your energy into it. Just like if you have got an examination, how will you study? You will study seriously, isn't it? Whereas we got this bad habit. When you come to spiritual life, we think, oh, it's all going on anyway. Nothing is going to change. Nothing will happen. What can I do? A kind of weak approach we have cultivated. Because of that, what happens is that the results also comes in the same way. It doesn't. But if you are genuinely listening regularly, class after class, and if you are putting effort into it, like a good student will do, it should have its effect. Otherwise, there is something seriously wrong somewhere. That's the point. So, Krishna is saying here, when you keep on studying like this, just like when you burp, when it comes out from inside, in the same way, this 13th chapter will come out from inside. So, then you can know that something has gone in, if you are burping with that. Otherwise, there is no other way to explain that. That is the way Salsangam works. So, otherwise, all these things what we have spoken here, if it is all in your intelligence only, then you may have to go to mental hospital straight away. Because if it is in the intelligence, it's no use to be in the intelligence cannot help here. This is the point I'm making again and again. That intelligence has no entry into this chapter, into this 13th chapter. And you won't have any peace or shanti, what Krishna has spoken. Because shanti is the symptom of salsangam. Shanti is the symptom of salsangam. We remember, nischala tattve jivan mukti. Nischala tattvam. So that nisangada or nischala tattvam is the cream of this 13th chapter. Then nischalata. In other words, after hearing this chapter, after reading this chapter, after scrutinizing this chapter and analyzing it very well, you should go into seclusion and think about it deeply. Think about it deeply. At that time you will see yourself, the mind and intelligence is withdrawing. It's coming more from the consciousness. You yourself will notice that without anyone's explanation. So powerful is this 13th chapter. Is this 13th chapter. So we'll stop today. We started this chapter early March. So it has taken us March, April, May, now almost half the June, 3.5 months. So at this rate, we will continue, but hopefully we'll finish sometime Bhagavad Gita, the remaining, we have another 5 more chapters, isn't it? This is the 13th one. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 5 chapters more. So another 5 chapters, perhaps 15, 16 months. 18 chapters is a long chapter. It's the longest chapter. So probably it will take about 5 or 6 months to finish that. So that's how it will be. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.